free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, September the 15th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we have a very important program. We're going to be taking a look at where America is more than 6 months after undeclared martial law. And as I reported, we've had state after state where governors have left martial law in effect in defiance of the Constitution, in defiance of their own state constitutions, in defiance of state law. That they're supposed to have a legislature come back and review their orders. In Idaho, we even had a Republican governor tell the Republican legislature that they were not going to meet after 90 days, even though the law required it. And then 60 days later, he came up with his own legislation and then called the Republican legislature back into session so that he could reportedly give legal immunity to any businesses so that they would not be sued if they opened up. And yet, that immunity was conditional on them doing everything that he told them to do. We're looking at a situation here in America that is extremely dangerous. And so today we're going to have, in the second and third hour, we're going to have David Martin, who features prominently in the sequel to Plandemic, Plandemic Part 2, Indoctrination, done by Mickey Willis and others. Mickey Willis is going to be in studio as well. And they're going to be talking about the latest pandemic documentary that dropped the end of August, I think is when it was, about August 23rd. And it's very important that we understand where this is coming from and how these people are colluding with each other. It's very important that we take a look at the patents involved here, the money involved here, the criminal actions of bio-warfare development. I've been talking about this for years. As a matter of fact, I think Allison Young at USA Today deserves an award for the work that she did back in 2013, 2014, where she was exposing the accidents, quote-unquote, that were happening in all these different CDC labs. And the fact that we had hundreds of these labs scattered throughout universities. We've subsequently learned the connections between UNC Chapel Hill, as a matter of fact, very close to where I used to live. Didn't realize it was in my own backyard where they were working on this specific coronavirus. Well, David Martin is going to be breaking down the interesting research that he's found in terms of relating the patents to coronavirus, the patents to tests. And of course, we'll take a look at Event 201 and many other of these simulations designed to prepare, not to prepare for a real pandemic, but to prepare the people who are in the military industrial complex, the people who are in the bureaucratic organizations, to take control and to take our freedom and our country away from us under the pretense of this. If they knew this was coming, if they've been planning for this for 20 years, and yes, they have. Going back to June of 2001, as they were writing the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, they were also doing Dark Winter. And I got a lot of chatter from White House hackers who were telling me, hey, Dark Winter 2 is coming. And that was as this was all ramping up as well. So when we look at what these people have been planning for, they didn't plan to have any masks ready. They didn't plan to have any tests ready, any other personal protective equipment. No, they weren't planning on protecting anybody. They're protecting their interests. They're forwarding their interests. And I look at the silence from the Republicans. The Democrats are all on board with this and openly pushing it. And yet even somebody like Pat Buchanan, who says, well, you know, Trump can still pull this out. Yeah, he can. He can pull us out of a lockdown and martial law. But not even Pat Buchanan mentions this as even an issue. Not even an issue to these people. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Remember 15 days to flatten the curve because the hospitals were so full? Of course, all that was a lie. All that was a fraud. the Rockefeller and Bill Gates documents from the beginning are on record. They said the mask wearing will never end. The social distancing will never end. The forced inoculations will never end. The social tracking through your cell phones and the global social credit score will never end if you put up with it. This is the rollout of the post-human world. I know you know that, but I've seen National Democrat Party statements and I've seen CNN and others point out that Jones says that COVID is a hoax. What I'm saying is it's an overblown fraud. It's a scam. But he sells Infowars.com masks. Yes, if you're going to be made to do it to fly in an airport or by the police on a train, then fight back with information warfare, have a walking billboard. That's hypocrisy to be able to hold two different ideas in your head at the same time. If you're going to be raped by these people, they're going to put the burqa over your head. Might as well advertise it with Infowars.com. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Fight back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, September 15th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host, and it is day 183 days of America held hostage. Over 6 months of this undeclared martial law. And I'm telling you, we've got to take normal back. It is time to take it back. The way we defeat this is to defy them. You cannot allow Fauci and these other liars. They don't even believe their own lies, and you can see this as they violate their own prohibitions. Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe she's going to die if she gets her hair done. And you shouldn't believe that you're going to die either, and you ought to defy it. And if it requires you setting up a black market economy and doing this underground, then do it. You better start setting up an underground economy, because these people have set up everything to control you from the top down. You better start fighting back from the bottom up. I was gone over the last week. I had to go back to North Carolina. We had a very close relative who was very sick. And we wanted to go back to help with that on our way back. And I got to say, when we were in North Carolina, very different from communist Austin here, California Austin. We had to walk into, first time we've been into a restaurant in 6 months. The day they shut things down here in Austin, March 17th, was the anniversary, our 46th anniversary of our first date. We're teenagers. And not as young as the cuties. We'll talk about that. We're in college. But we had our first date on St. Patrick's Day. And as we were planning to go to lunch for St. Patrick's Day, they got word they're going to close the restaurants down. I've told this story. We got grandfathered in. My wife was there before they closed. You know, 11 o'clock, the mayor here in Austin says, we're going to close all the restaurants in Austin at noon. And the waitress in the basically empty restaurant, and we're the last customer there, said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, and they just told me I don't have a job. Thank you, Democrats. Good job. Trump, Fauci, all of you people, this bipartisan plan to destroy our country is working very effectively. We've gone now over 6 months, and so we hadn't gone to a restaurant in that amount of time. And we went to a restaurant for the first time in Raleigh on our way back, and walked into a restaurant. And they were all masked up, and there were signs on the door. You know, you got to wear masks, but we walked in without masks just to see what happened. And they all waved to us, hey, how you doing? They were real happy to see a customer. And they waited on us. They didn't have a problem. I didn't have to wear a mask to walk 3 seconds to a table. Imagine that. Not like here in Texas. They treated us like human beings. First time in 6 months I've been treated like a human being. And on the way back, we decided that we would stop by Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge in Tennessee, a place I used to always love to go. We used to go there frequently when we lived in Florida. It was nice to get out of the heat, go to the mountains of North Carolina. And I wanted to see what had happened. You know, we're talking about fires. There were a lot of fires in Smoky Mountains. I've talked about this many times, and it's good to see that President Trump is telling the truth about what's going on. We'll talk about what Joe Biden said, calling President Trump a climate arsonist. Well, that's going to be coming up. We'll get to that in the first hour, because in the second and third hour, we're going to be talking to the producers of Plandemic. Well, actually, one of the producers of Plandemic, Mickey Willis, and we'll be talking to David Martin, who features prominently in it. He's done a lot of research on the money and the patent connections and, of course, the networking of the usual suspects. No, I'm not talking about Kevin Spacey. I'm talking about people far worse than Kevin Spacey, people like Fauci, people like the Gates Foundation, people like the guy who's head of research at UNC Chapel Hill, grading coronaviruses. So it's going to be a very interesting second, third hour. I'll try to make the first hour interesting as well. But anyway, we want to go by that. I wanted to see what the fires looked like. And fortunately, from where I was, and we didn't get to a lot of it, didn't get up to the higher altitudes of the mountains or anything, but I didn't see any evidence of it. We saw a little bit of evidence that looked like it had grown back very quickly. Here in Texas, south of Austin here in Bastrop, they had fires back in 2012, and they still haven't recovered from that, but didn't see any damage to that. But the reason I'm talking about this is because when we got to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, pretty much everybody, I would say maybe about 10% of the people at most, from what we saw, had masks on. The sidewalks were packed, crowded. It was an absolute refutation of Fauci. It was a giant middle finger to Fauci. And that's what we have to do. We have to just live our lives normally. Defy these people. And everybody was doing it. Everywhere we went, there are all these signs everywhere. Oh, can't come in. Don't do this. Social distance, stay 6 feet apart, yada, yada, yada. Okay, do your part, 6 feet apart. All of these nagging signs everywhere, but we went in one restaurant after the other. We went in a couple of different restaurants when we were there. And people would take down their mask and talk to us. Back up. Or they walk around, their mask would be under their nose or whatever. A cloth mask under your nose. Yeah, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? They know it's garbage. Nobody cared. Not like here in Austin. Nobody cared. Yeah, there he is. There's Fauci. He knows it doesn't matter either. He doesn't believe it either. He's got it under his nose. It's just for show. It's for compliance. It's for indoctrination. And by the way, that's what they call the second film in the Plandemic series, indoctrination. And that's exactly what it is. And so they're not taking it seriously, and you shouldn't take it seriously either. As we look at the way this is rolling out, we got the Toronto Film Festival is going to go mask optional, and Hollywood Reporter is very, very upset and nagging them about that, shaming them for doing that. Well, go ahead and do it. If I could get on a plane, I would go there. As a matter of fact, we had to drive because I can't fly. And if they're going to turn a plane around for a two-year-old, you can bet they'd do it for me, because I'm not going to wear a mask. And they have done that over and over again. And as I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, and I guess I got them in trouble, because nobody had said anything about Sturgis. I said, you know, it's been many weeks since you had 500,000 people go to this little town of 9,000 for a motorcycle rally. And they've been doing this for like 70 years or something. And I said, it's interesting that there haven't been any. And at the time, CBS said, well, yeah, we think we might have found about 8 cases of this. Well, really? Out of 500,000? And so now they came up with a study, not a peer-reviewed study, but a study. And said, well, we think that this is going to be a massive super spreader event. Now, you know, not really any supporting data for this, and it hasn't been reviewed, but they've come up with a dollar figure, $12 billion in healthcare costs. Well, I can understand that because, you know, if you just have to test people. While I was gone, I saw that a doctor, was reported on Infowars.com, a doctor, $10,000 for a test from the people that he worked for. And it wasn't an exam. It was just a test. And he got a bill for $10,000. So I could see they could easily get to $12 billion. You know, we've had thousands of college students tested and test positive with this PCR nonsense. And yet not a single hospitalization out of thousands of college students. Imagine that. Imagine how many people who went to the Sturgis motorcycle rally that maybe had an accident somewhere. I guess that's all Sturgis' fault as well, right? Spreading motorcycle accidents everywhere. As one of the guys who went there said, he says, hey, this isn't the real issue. The real issue is that nobody sees me when I'm on a motorcycle. That's right. That's right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It couldn't have been scripted any better. That's because it was completely scripted, and we even know the names of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, and John Hopkins documents. We have the script, just like you'd have for a Hollywood movie. And it's designed to free civilization and have a post-Renaissance stagnation or new dark age and a total consolidation of all wealth and power in the hands of the kleptocratic post-humanist. The magnitude of this is unfathomable, but you can see all the check boxes of tyranny are being marked carefully, every I dotted, every T crossed, a total societal vertical integration, takeover, medical tyranny, total surveillance. The big tech heads, on average, have had their wealth go up 35% in the last 8 months. And of course, Jeff Bezos has basically doubled his. Everyone is being forced onto their system, the post-human robot takeover. You're being made obsolete. Big tech is the global straitjacket of the New World Order. It is the enforcement system, the surveillance system. It's going to track everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you basically think, and then reward or punish you for those behaviors. And they're not liberals. That's a complete and total cover. They are monsters that love authoritarianism and are building towards a post-human world. Their mission is to destroy indigenous communities, annihilate small towns, annihilate all human culture, and consolidate us all, isolate us all, and then carry out our orderly extermination. This is their public master plan. And COVID-19 is the cover for the rollout of this digital control system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to get worse from here. When you see officials from Apple, Google, Facebook, Twitter, you are looking at people way more smart and way more evil than Hitler. They want to murder you and your family. You have been warned.
We here at InfoWars are proud to announce the first ever Kava Kava root supplement that is now available at InfoWarsStore.com. Kava is one of the hottest new breakthroughs in the natural health world today, though it has been used for hundreds of years in the Pacific Islands for its relaxation and euphoric effects. According to ancient Samoan legend, Kava was given as a gift by the sun god Tagaloa, who they considered to be the supreme ruler and creator of the universe. The Samoan people would drink kava tea during social gatherings and sacred ceremonies to loosen up a little. Nowadays, kava is used around the world by many who enjoy its serious benefits. The new Kava Chill by Dr. Jones Naturals contains a full blend of not only kava kava, but other herbs including, but not limited to, German chamomile, organic skullcap, and valerian root. We do expect to sell this new product quickly, so be sure to secure yours by visiting InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk about all the horrible things that are happening, and I point out that the globalists are a eugenics death cult because it's true. I don't say it to scare you. A lot of people say, man, this show is dark. Well, you've got to know you're dealing with evil if you're going to defeat it. And if we just listen to the surface of what the NWO propagandists are saying, they have reasons to sell this garbage to the general public. But if you just scratch the surface, they're so arrogant, they've all written detailed blueprints of this plan. And more being honest about it. Because there comes a point where, as David Icke says, they have to stop hiding it and start selling it. So we're at the point of the emergence now. And it's coming out in the open. And some people, under mass Stockholm syndrome, are going to submit to any level of tyranny, but others are going to fight. This isn't like some old dictatorship that you could submit to it and join it and be okay. No, this thing is post-human exterminism. Research what that is.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
We were talking before we went to break about this allegedly super spreader event. The Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, $12 billion. And it's really torn apart by Robert Bridge on the Strategic Culture Foundation. You'll find the article at Zero Hedge as well. And I was wrong. It's not a 70-year-old event. This goes back to 1938. That means it's 82 years old. 82 years old. But we can't do it this year. Can't do it. How many reckless bikers lost their lives for not doing social distancing? Well, the best they could do was to come up with one person. Out of a 500,000 people packed together in a little tiny town of 9,000 people, typically. A Minnesota man in his 60s, who also had many other underlying health conditions. But, you know, hey, we're going to count it, right? We're going to go with that. I mean, they've had motorcycle, literally, we reported for you the motorcycle death that was counted as a COVID death. And the bureaucrat didn't even want to back that. Well, it could have happened. He could have died from the car. It could have been a contributing factor to his motorcycle death. These people are so desperate to lie to you. It's unbelievable, truly unbelievable. So he dug into the data here. And he says, they said in there that they based this $12.2 billion figure. Now, isn't it $12.2 billion? You know, the super spreader event of Sturgis. It's based on the statistical cost of a COVID-19 case of $46,000. Now, where did they come up with that? Well, I don't know. But considering the fact that you get $13,000 just for getting a positive PCR test on somebody. And again, remember, the PCR test magnifies the viral content so that it tests positive for somebody who doesn't even have a viral load that's enough to cause symptoms, a viral load that's enough to make it contagious. That's why it can't be used, according to the Nobel Prize winner who created the PCR test for this. So quantitatively, it's garbage. Garbage. And qualitatively, it's garbage because it can't distinguish one coronavirus from another. And there's a lot of coronaviruses out there. That's why the flu vaccine never works, because they never know which strain of flu they're going to be vaccinating for, among many other issues with the flu vaccine. Anyway, they never know. There's so many of them out there. But, you know, you have $13,000 for flagging somebody, another $39,000 if you can put them on a ventilator to kill them, because 80% of the people die. And then you get other bonuses if you put them on remdesivir. That's $5,000 for one course of treatment. I mean, you know, with the $39,000 and the remdesivir and the other stuff, I mean, $46,000, that's pretty conservative, $46,000. Anyway, they said on page 30, second paragraph of the supposed study, they admit, quote, this is by no means an accurate accounting of the true externality cost of the event, as it counts those who attended and were infected as part of the externality when their costs are likely internalized. Well, let me break down all the jargon here for you. In other words, they paid for it out of their pocket, assuming they had to pay for anything, which they probably didn't, because as we've seen, thousands upon thousands of college students lied to in order to get them to return to campus, then they get locked down into solitary confinement. And if they break that solitary confinement, they get expelled, and the universities keep the tens of thousands of dollars that they've ripped these poor suckers off for and their parents in the first place. College is a ripoff, if you haven't noticed it, and it's become an even greater ripoff now with this coronavirus stuff. And so, you know, you get one or two cases and shut the whole campus. Sorry, we can't work now. But we got the check coming from Uncle Sam. Don't you just love it when esteemed researchers use the word ballpark in their studies, writes Strategic Culture. Dr. Jeffrey Clausner, a leading epidemiologist with no apparent political axe to grind, told the Daily Beast, even the Daily Beast doesn't believe this stuff. And they are big time fear mongers on this stuff. He said the additional cases costing billions of dollars is absurd. And nevertheless, the $12.2 billion figure has now traveled around the world and everybody believes it, right? Because a lie can go all the way around the world before the truth gets its pants on. And that's what we're seeing right here. And then we come to the other end of the spectrum. Not the bikers, but the Bible thumpers. We had another study that came out while I was gone saying singing is the easiest way to spread COVID. And they had a picture of a guy who's like doing karaoke somewhere. Let me tell you, that's not what they're doing. They're not trying to shut down all the karaoke bars. They're trying to shut down the churches. The churches. A super spreader event. And we have seen publication after publication. As a matter of fact, Paul is gone. I tweeted out yet another one of these guys. NPR did it a couple months ago, covered it. And then they recycled the same false information again. The most dangerous thing that you can do is to go to church and to sing. And so I just want to talk about how we take back normal. Here's a good example of this. John MacArthur, even though they came after him again, he had this to say. Let's play part of video clip number 5. We'll get the rest of it on the other side of the break.
You people are out of control. Wow, thank you. Are you happy to be at church? Okay. Before we begin, the question has come up a number of times about why Grace Church does not just comply with the orders that have been laid down for churches, and I thought it might be helpful to give you the list of things that are required of us as a church so that you understand how utterly impossible that would be. Here are the basic orders. No indoor meetings at all. Pre-registration of every person who comes onto church property. People only allowed on church property for scheduled events. Every person who comes on the property is to be screened and have their temperature taken at the entry. We all must maintain 6 feet of social distance at all times everywhere, including the parking lot and the restrooms. Every other parking space must be left vacant.
Don't want to spread it.
Marked pathways to maintain social distance, keeping people apart, monitored by staff monitors.
You get the idea. Oh, we'll play a little bit more of that because it is pretty ridiculous. Hang on to that clip there. We'll pick that up again. Got to keep every other parking space there because, you know, you could transmit it via your car or your motor. Maybe it's going to be some of the Hell's Angels are going to show up at Grace Community Church. And we don't want them to get sick like they did in Sturgis, right? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The clock is ticking on the once free world. And the free press is under attack more than ever. I now see videos 10 or 15 times a day without even trying to find them of press being arrested in the United States. Press being arrested in Canada, the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And it's always the so-called liberal left, the defenders of speech, doing it. They are the authoritarians. They work for the Chi-Com globalist combine. And they are working around the clock to silence InfoWars. Just as we were the group they started with 3 years ago, they test out everything new on us. And a lot of it I can't get into on air at this point. I'll be able to reveal this later. But I just want to make you all realize that your support, your word of mouth, your prayer is absolutely essential, and I thank you all for it. But whatever you do, take advantage of the great products that support the InfoWar and make your life healthier and better at InfoWarsStore.com. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com today. There is a metaphysical rule that God has put in place that controls the universe, and it's free will. That's why the social engineers, the robber barons, the globalists, the post-humanists, the anti-humans openly tell you what they're doing and openly tell you that you're worthless and crap and you need to die because that will save the earth. But they do everything they can to make the most dystopian, ugly future they can in the movies and in the culture and in all the different publications. They are making you hate yourself. They are making you be depressed. They are making you not have a connection to God because they just want you to die so they can selfishly control the future. And that's what all this is about, you know. They say they're setting up world government to protect us all from our super technologies. While they're the ones running around like mad scientists, endangering the whole planet with a lot of these technologies. The globalists are what is disruptive to human species. They call us disruptive to their power grab. It's time to say no. The party was not going to go on forever. All the welfare, all the entertainment, all the decadence was only designed to get people domesticated, dumbed down, selfish, and most importantly, isolated. And now that most of the population is selfish, isolated, and very, very dumbed down and ignorant, the New World Order is making its move. And they are now going to weaponize the giant masses of foolish followers who believe if they just follow orders, they'll get another little piece of green, like when the chicken pecks at the lever. And then all that they're really going to get is the noose tightened around their foolish neck. Those of us that are aware and informed can laugh at the massive slaves, but remember, they are a dangerous weapon pointed at our throats, and so we've got to save them to save ourselves. And to do that, we've got to expose the globalists. We've got to take it to them politically and absolutely annihilate them with the crimes that they've actually committed. Expose the enemy now. I don't want to be right about this prediction. In fact, it's not a prediction. It is a forecast that we continue down the economic road we're on globally with the ongoing COVID-19 lockdowns and the destruction of productivity. It will continue to accelerate these ripple effects that are breaking down supply chains that will starve tens of millions of additional people in the third world and destroy decades of human infrastructure that's been built. It will annihilate the funding of that and put the entire first world in even deeper debt, which we're being maneuvered into. So I really think the smart move is to end all these lockdowns immediately and prosecute the people that launched the giant COVID scam, the giant COVID con game. This is really just a big power grab. But in case we can't reverse all this, we better start digging in and getting storable food and getting prepared to be self-sufficient, because that's the name of their game, is to make us dependent on them. So get self-sufficient now, InfoWars.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's The David Knight Show.
We were talking about how we take back normal. We just do it. We just do it. We don't ask permission from these people. If you make it that, if you set this up so that we don't go about our lives until Fauci tells us that we can, then we will never have freedom again in this country. Because these people will use that as a precedent to tell us under any pretense that we cannot live our lives. They can shut us down at any time. And they're talking about doing it again, and they will do it again. As soon as cold weather starts, and they're going to start testing everybody. I mean, they're going to test everybody in the UK, right? They're going to test everybody here as well. And once they start doing that, they're going to get a massive number of positive cases, whether people are sick or not. And they're going to use that as a pretense to shut us down. We're going to see. When we look at this, we're going to see the winter of our discontent is coming, just like it is in Australia right now, because it's been winter in Melbourne and Victoria, where that Chinese puppet, Dan Andrews, their premier, who took $1 trillion from the Chinese government, and then set up Chinese-style tyranny. He's run this down, and they're going to do the same thing here. You mark my word. Mark my word. That's what they're gearing up for, fascinating these other people. They know they've got a narrative. They're preparing this, and we're going to tear that narrative apart coming up in the second, third hour. The producer, David Martin and Mickey Willis, producer of Plandemic, their second Plandemic indoctrination. We're going to talk about the censorship where they came after Dr. Judy Mikovits as she exposed Fauci's connections and so forth. That's one element of it, but we're also going to talk to David Martin about the new information about patents that he discovered. Very, very interesting information. So they're going to be joining us coming up in the second, third hour. But let's go back to what John MacArthur said, because I think this is very important. As I said before, you know, we had, before I went on vacation, well, it wasn't vacation, we had to go back to North Carolina, family illness. But before I was gone for over a week, we had a couple of incidents. We had one in London. 10,000 people showed up to protest without social distancing, without face masks. And yet here in California, I talked about Sturgis, 500,000 bikers show up in a little tiny town. And all of those are basically thumbing their noses that are sticking out of their masks because they don't have any masks at Fauci and this fake narrative. And we had about 40,000 people in Berlin as well that same weekend. But every weekend, John MacArthur's church right there in L.A., as 7,000 to 10,000 people meeting every weekend. And not only that, but they're singing. They're singing. And that's not something that they were doing in Berlin or in London. I mean, it's even more of a defiance of this. The bikers weren't singing. The protesters weren't singing, but the church members are singing. No social distancing, no masks, and they're meeting there. And so we've had a situation where, and I found this interesting. I didn't have time to look to see who these people were. ReligionNews.com. And obviously they should call themselves anti-Christianity news. But they took a very, very critical line of John MacArthur. Judge grants injunction barring John MacArthur. They said he doesn't believe in a secular state, is the way they put this. He loses round one. Well, it wasn't round one. They've had, L.A. has taken them to court four times previously. This is round five. Round five. And not even the judges in the past would do anything for the side of L.A. But they're relentless. They're not going to stop. And this is the way they are. This is the way these controllers are. They will never take no for an answer. You can't defeat these people once and then declare victory and go away. They will continue to come back again and again and again and again. As soon as they lose, they come back again. Same argument. And so after five times, they get a judge who says, no, you can't meet indoors. And so they went ahead and did it anyway. And John MacArthur said, obviously, this is not constitutional, but more importantly, it goes against the will of the Lord of the church who calls us together. And so the judge in this particular case said that he thought that the potential consequences of the spread of this now not lethal disease, we now know, but the potential spread of a flu that is no more a coronavirus, that is no more lethal than the usual coronavirus. As a matter of fact, according to the CDC statistics we see nationally and, again, here in Texas, I've pointed that out, the death rate is lower than it typically is with a flu season. We had a spike at one point in time, they said. But even with their own figures, they don't make the case. And so the potential consequences outweigh the harm, says the judge. No, they don't. The potential consequences don't create a condition for martial law for 6 months of escalating martial law. And they've been escalating this through the summer. That's why I say we're going to have a very bad winter. And just remember that the very first time they simulated this in June of 2001, before they pulled off 9/11, they called it dark winter. It's going to be a dark winter if we don't stop this. And yet the Republicans don't seem to understand there's an issue here. They're patting themselves on the back at the RNC about how they had met this horrible thing and shut it down. They declared victory. And the economy is ripping forward and doing wonderful, right? What planet are these people on? Do they really believe that you will buy that garbage? What lies and propaganda from the RNC? The very way that Trump held his little garden party there, instead of holding a convention, he held his convention according to Fauci rules, not according to what would have worked. If he wanted to shut this thing down, if he wanted to have a real election, instead of having an election that nobody on either side is going to believe that's going to fuel a civil war, then Trump should have led. He should have been a leader. He should have held the convention in defiance of Fauci. He should have shut this guy down and he should lock him up. And we'll tell you why he should be locked up coming up. These people are Nazi war criminals. They don't call it. It's not the National Institute of Health. It's a Nazi Institute of Heil. And they're putting us into a literal Heil here. Let's go back. I want to play for you some of what John MacArthur said. I played for you before when he said, hey, there is no pandemic. We've been meeting here for week after week after week after week. Thousands of people, no social distancing, no masks, singing, shaking hands, hugging each other, and nobody is sick. Let's play some more of that.
Every other parking space must be left vacant. Marked pathways to maintain social distance, keeping people apart, monitored by staff monitors. Everyone always wearing a mask. Restroom monitors to control 6 feet social distancing at restrooms. Tape on the ground marking distance. Signs indicating these mandates and also full exposure on social media. Restrooms are to be used during the service to minimize the rush. That would be interesting. No hymn books, no communion, no offering containers, no pew Bibles, no singing, no hugging, no shaking hands. Disposable seat covers changed between services.
Okay, that's the way we take normal back. We say, hey, take these and, you can use them for toilet paper. Because we got a toilet paper shortage, so take those regulations and use them for that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You've always had a pledge from me, and it's that I'll come to you with the truth, at least as good as my human temporal truth can get. Because as the Bible says, we all see through a rose-colored, darkly kind of a foggy lens that distorts what we actually can perceive, so that everything we do is actually a fallen sin. Everything we do is actually a twisted distortion of God's will. So when I tell you, I'm telling you the truth. It's the best truth this fallen creature's got. But I'll tell you, it's all I got. And when I tell you that this country and the world is under major satanic threat, you don't need me to tell you that. You can look out the window. You can look into your own family. You can turn on the news. You can see it. But you've got this commitment. I do recognize the truth of God, and so do you. We're going to win this fight, but it's going to be hard. And I want to keep InfoWars in the main position to fight, and it only happens when you support, which you've been doing. So, again, I thank you. But go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy the product, spread the word, because that's how we're going to win. Again, I thank you all.
Where the hell did this water come from?
We can't survive without pure, clean drinking water. So make sure that it's always available to you with the Alexa Pure Water Filtration System. This gravity-fed system filters through all the toxins and gets straight to clean, healthy, great-tasting water. Yummy in my tummy. Bring the purest, most refreshing water to your home by by ordering the Alexa Pure Water Filtration System today from InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWarsStore.com.
Other systems just don't compare.
Remember 15 days to flatten the curve because the hospitals were so full? Of course, all of that was a lie. All that was a fraud. The Rockefeller and Bill Gates documents from the beginning are on record. They said the mask wearing will never end. The social distancing will never end. The forced inoculations will never end. The social tracking through your cell phones and the global social credit score will never end if you put up with it. This is the rollout of the post-human world. I know you know that, but I've seen National Democrat Party statements and I've seen CNN and others point out that Jones says that COVID is a hoax. What I'm saying is it's an overblown fraud. It's a scam. But he sells InfoWars.com masks. Yes, if you're going to be made to do it to fly in an airport or by the police on a train, then fight back with information warfare, have a walking billboard. That's hypocrisy to be able to hold two different ideas in your head at the same time. If you're going to be raped by these people, they're going to put the burqa over your head. Might as well advertise it with InfoWars.com. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Fight back. You can watch a factory of robots being controlled by wireless internet commands. But if you were a person just 200 years ago and you saw that, you'd think it was magic. You wouldn't even know really what the machines were or what was controlling them. So for that person, it would be spiritual or it would be something of the spirit. And it's similar to how ducks and butterflies and many other species of animal know how to fly thousands and thousands of miles back to the exact place where they were born. They're following magnetic lines. They have magnetic cells in their brains. We now know scientifically what's going on, but there's even a lot more than that. So when we talk about the spirit, we're talking about all the dark matter. We're talking about all the things you don't understand, but we know it's there. And just like you can have a bunch of robots working off a wireless system, that's what's going on with this satanic transmission that's working through people. And that's how this entity behind it all is able to direct it, because it is a consciousness manipulated through the space-time continuum.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Donald Trump is climate denial. May not have caused these fires and record floods and record hurricanes.
I love you too.
But if he gets a second term, these hellish events will continue to become more common, more devastating, and more deadly. Meanwhile, Donald Trump warns that integration is threatening our suburbs. It's ridiculous. But you know what is actually threatening our suburbs? Wildfires are burning the suburbs in the West. Floods are wiping out suburban neighborhoods in the Midwest. Hurricanes are imperiling suburban life along our coast. If we have four more years of Trump's climate denial, how many suburbs will be burned in wildfires? How many suburban neighborhoods will have been flooded out? How many suburbs will have been blown away in superstorms? If you give a climate arsonist four more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze? If you give a climate denier four more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised when more of America is underwater? We need a president who respects science, who understands that the damage from climate change is already here. Unless we take urgent action, will soon be more catastrophic.
Yeah, he doesn't want to set the world on fire. He just wants to set a flame in your heart and be present for a little while. You know, because we had Kamala Harris make an interesting statement. Let's play video clip number 7 of Kamala Harris. Go ahead, run it.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden. Yeah, just a little bit of a, you know, we'll have the ceremony and he can have the parade and then she can take over. Yeah, America underwater. You know how America's underwater that nobody wants to talk about? It's with this lockdown, this forced depression. that neither party wants to talk about or do anything about. Of course, you know, Biden will do more of that. Democrats are happy to do that. They'll tell you that they're going to do that, and they will do it. The Republicans, however, will be silent about it and do it anyway, which is more dangerous, I wonder. But yeah, the whole idea, I've said many times that in order to get everything that they wanted, they've been able to use the COVID MacGuffin. Just take all of the agenda, the UN 2030 agenda, the UN Agenda 21 was before that, and they can just take all those different aspects, pull out the climate change and stick that in. But guess what? They're going to keep the climate change agenda going as well. So has President Trump become a climate arsonist? Is that really what is going on? And we've had, as we look at this, I'll tell you, there's two things that are going on. President Trump was right when he said a lot of this is the policy, the land use policy. I've been saying this forever because I was told this by my uncle, who was a University of Missouri forestry professor. He's head of the forestry department, as a matter of fact, at the University of Missouri, Columbia. And I think that's where it was. Anyway, he talked about how they had changed their model from stewardship to essentially radical hands-off environmentalism. Oh, it's a special thing, right? And we better not touch it. And what they have done, and we talked about it, Tad Haupt was a logger that we interviewed in Oregon in the wake of the shooting of LaVoy Finicum up there. And he was on his way to a meeting that was being hosted by the sheriff in that one area. And Tad was a logger who had had his savings wiped out by the mismanagement of the federal government. They basically had shut down in that area of Oregon all the logging industry, and nobody had any jobs except for federal workers, government workers. Everybody else had been basically put out of business. So if you wanted a job, you work for the federal government. Other than that, you don't get anything. And if you'd saved up and bought land with timber, the reckless mismanagement of the federal government, as he talked about, he said, look, they just leave these trees here. They don't let us take the deadwood out. And what it creates is like massive accelerants. And so you have two things that are happening here. You've got arsonists who are going out and setting the fire, and the federal government has essentially left massive quantities of gasoline to accelerate and to continue this and to spread it. That's the two different aspects of this that they don't want to talk about. We had a man arrested for igniting a brush fire in Portland. Guess what he was doing? He was throwing Molotov cocktails. I wonder who he's in Portland and he's got Molotov cocktails. I wonder what club he's a member of. What do you think? And as they arrest him and then release him, they had to take him back the next day for setting another six fires. Domingo Lopez Jr. And then you have an Oregon woman who catches an arsonist on her property with matches. She holds him at gunpoint until the police arrive, at which point I guess they let him go if they are like the other police. The Oregon governor, however, is taking a page out of the Biden fear-mongering. He says these wildfires are a wake-up call on climate change. And Gavin Newsom stands in the ashes and says the debate is over. Let me tell you, there was never a debate. These people never wanted a debate. They will never even show you the data behind their conclusions. I've talked about this many times. I was with a group that sued Michael Mann to get his data after he had published everything, after he had done all of his work at a government university, state university, paid for by the state, on the state computer, published his data, and it had been used to set up policy. And we said, we'd like to see your data, especially because you've got these emails going back and forth with East Anglia University in the UK saying we've got to hide the decline because the models don't work. So we'd like to see your original data. No, 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 you can't see it. And the judge said, no, you can't see it. It's his private stuff. How can that be? They've never had a debate. They don't want to debate it. It's settled. Let me tell you something. Science is never settled. You know, the speed of light is not settled. it's one of the things when I went through school. It's like, oh, yeah, speed of light, that's the constant. And we did all these other equations that relate to that. Well, guess what? It's not. It's slowing down. The very good evidence. And there is a debate about that. Certainly is. But there's a lot of evidence to show that the speed of light is not a constant. And you got a lot of people really dig in on that one. There's a lot of things about science that should always be debated. Science is about debate. Science is about skepticism. Science is the show me. Not the show me state, but the show me part of academia. So there has never been a debate. Never been a debate. As we look at what's going on, nevertheless, we got in Fresno, we got a man arrested in connection to wildfires burning near Big Sur down in California. Ivan Geronimo. Geronimo Gomez, 30. This fire has burned 2,500 acres. Four people arrested for arson in connection with Western wildfires, reports the New American. And actually, when I go through their article, I count up six people. I guess they haven't all been charged or arrested, but they mention six people. Washington State Patrol apprehended at least two arson suspects. In California, 37-year-old Anita Esquivel. In Oregon, a homeless man set a fire. Killed at least four people. He was standing there when the state troopers found him, standing close to a fire that was about to engulf several homes. This is going on and on. 22 people have died in California, 10 in Oregon, 1 in Washington. We've got 33 people that have died from this. And yet Facebook says it'll remove all posts alleging that the Oregon fires were started by certain groups. Even though on Facebook, you had one of these guys live streaming what he was doing. That's how they caught him. These are the lies that are coming out of mainstream media. And this is the censorship that we're going to be talking about when we talk about pandemic indoctrination in the next segment. I'll just throw in one more thing here before we get ready to go to break. Listener sent this to me, reminding me, you know, going back to 1945, it was a weapon in World War II. The Japanese used balloon bombs. They were able to kill six Americans, five of them children, in Oregon. In Oregon. And as the Smithsonian looks at this, they say the it was actually the first successful intercontinental weapons. Except that now we have Antifa doing it. And just for the benefit of Zuckerberg, Antifa bragged about it. They actually tweeted out, Scarsdale, New York, Antifa. We and other chapters of Antifa around Oregon have collaborated to ignite fires around the state to draw attention to the climate emergency. Folks, take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a sale, the Save the Republic sale. You can save up to 60% off plus free shipping on many items. We have all shirts available for $17.76 plus free shipping. We have the 8-pack power stacks, a couple of different variants of that, 60% off plus free shipping. DNA Force plus 50% off plus free shipping. Many items there. Don't forget to stock up on storable food. We'll be right back.
In Germany, in Australia, in Canada, and now even in Ohio, every blue state, every blue city is announcing that they are establishing emergency COVID centers for people that refuse to be tested or people that are tested but refuse to stay in place while the results are coming back, or those that supposedly break quarantine. This, of course, is all based on the tests that are over 90% fraudulent and were designed to be so. This is a power grab. The world government globalist system is in trouble. All over the planet, free peoples are trying to pull out of it. And every blue area, I use the term blue as if in the U.S. for blue for Democrats, red for Republicans, is basically globalist or communist and authoritarian. And they are using this as their cover for an authoritarian takeover because they know the world's waiting to them. It's a very simple equation. It's illegal. We must resist it.
Come down to a fight over how many people are awake and how many aren't. They're going to contest the election. They're going to say Trump lost. They're super pissed that I'm on air.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
You kept us on air. We did the analysis first. It's now gone mainstream. We continue to be the epicenter. And what they've said directly to us is you continue to be the epicenter of our plans not going the way we want. And you need to stop right now. And they're very, very serious. Well, I'm not signing on with a bunch of devil-worshipping child molesters. This is not going to happen. So they are moving now to destroy me. I used to say support InfoWars, rescue InfoWars, save yourself, save the world. We're in this together. Because let me tell you something. Communism's up here. InfoWars is the dam blocking it, which is all of us together supporting. And you and I are all down here with our families. My children are right here. but I need money to fight a war, and I need word of mouth, and I need prayer, and I need action, because that dam's going to come down. Trump's told you, hell's coming.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. One of the things that, while I was away last week in North Carolina, one of the things that I was concerned to see was Ivanka Trump. She had a couple of tweets. One of them was she was attacked by Joy Behar. Said, well, you like this, this vaccine, this untested vaccine so much, Ivanka? Well, why don't you take it? And she said, deal, Joy Behar. I would come on your show to do it. I trust the FDA. Does she really? Does she really? Is she that stupid, or does she think that you're stupid to trust the FDA? And so should all Americans. Vanquishing the virus should be our collective top priority. Let me tell you something. This Operation Warp Speed is not a plan to expose the deep state. It is complicit, a complicit plan to push the deep state into your arms. And deeply injecting it in. That was one of the most reprehensible things that I saw. And then I looked at her Twitter feed. And she had a picture of herself wearing a mask. And said, I'm in North Carolina today. You know, wear your mask. Are you serious? Maybe if she wants to do the injection, maybe she should pay attention to the investor call that went out. You know, because this is all about the money. We're going to break down the money coming up in this hour. Joining us in the next segment, we're going to have David Martin. From Plandemic Part 2, Indoctrination. And we're going to talk about some of the money connections here, the patent connections here. But, of course, these people have been richly rewarded with over $1 billion from Operation Warp Speed. No questions asked. And no tests given. And yet, you know, you saw last week, you saw that they had to halt the test when they had some serious adverse effects. It turns out that we now... here in a private call that was set up by J.P. Morgan Investment Bank. They said that they had one woman who came down with transverse myelitis, kind of paralysis and inflammation, very similar to a polio myelitis. Right? And so we're going to set this up. I want to play for you a clip from Plandemic Indoctrination, as we bring in our guest, David Martin. Let's run video clip number two.
My systems flagged anomalies when I started seeing nonprofits and corporates and cover financing for coronavirus programs in the late summer and fall of 2019. Our first red flag came out when we read the World at Risk scenario. Now, there is an organization called the Global Monitoring Preparedness Board. This organization is a part of the World Health Organization, and this board includes Dr. Elias from the Gates Foundation and Anthony Fauci from NIAID. These two individuals, plus the director of the Center for Disease Control in China, come out with a recommendation that says that by September 2020, two global pandemic preparedness exercises have to be completed. And one of them has to be done on the release of a respiratory pathogen that then gave rise to an October event, Event 201.
On behalf of our partners in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
Event 201 took place 5 months before COVID-19 was declared a pandemic. The participants of the event are some of the same people that are now deeply involved in the real pandemic and profiting from it as well. Event 201 was a scripted, multi-camera, live event that was broadcast globally via the internet. An event of this complexity and magnitude would take months to write, prep, and produce. placing the conception date at least 1 year prior to the actual pandemic.
There is no question that there will be a surprise outbreak.
Anthony Fauci knew as early as January of 2017 that we would see an outbreak before the end of 2020. Even Bill Gates, a man with no medical training, knew it was coming.
If we start now, we can be ready for the next epidemic.
Every single thing that you have seen play out in front of your eyes.
Dependency. Domestication. In the real world, ignorance is not bliss. It's enslavement and it's death. The globalists are teaching us all that we're non-essential. With automation, they're bringing in a world that doesn't empower humanity, but makes us obsolete. But we're not obsolete. We don't have to listen to them. We can farm again. We can garden. We can become self-sufficient. But first, we've got to learn to stand up politically for ourselves, and we need to become self-sufficient. That begins with water filtration, to take control of that from the globalists, their fluoride, and their dumbing down agenda, and with storable food. And we have it all, the highest quality, the highest rated, at the lowest prices at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action now. You cannot lose unless you do not take action. We have the best water filtration, the best storable food, and it funds the InfoWar. Take action now while you still can. Become prepared. Become self-sufficient now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Dr. David Martin, and you just saw part of Plandemic, part two, Indoctrination, and he features very prominently there because of investigations that Dr. Martin has done into patents. And I thought, I saw this documentary last night, David, and it was really, really important what you have discovered in terms of the patents and the financial relationships of these people, putting these pieces together, because this really is, you know, when we look at this aspect of it and we look at the gain of function bioweapon research, I mean, this is really criminal action that is, that Fauci has been engaging in for quite a long time.
Yeah. And I think most viewers, most listeners have no idea how long that long time is.
Yes.
I mean, if you go back and you look at when Ralph Baric started messing around with coronavirus back in 1989.
Wow.
You heard me say that, right? Yeah. Right. 1989.
Yeah.
We have a situation.
And he's the guy at Chapel Hill.
UNC Chapel Hill.
Which is just down the road from where I used to live.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's down the road from me too. But you know, the funny thing is, you have a situation where he started working with coronavirus in rabbits. He was looking at how the coronavirus interacts with blood programs throughout the body of a rabbit, but really focused on cardiomyopathy. Something happened in 1999. So a decade into this research, he started putting coronaviruses together. Mm-hmm. And he got grants, and this is where Fauci started writing the checks. He got grants in 1999 to start putting different types of coronaviruses together. Process called recombinant behavior, recombinant engineering. And as he went through this process, he started getting more and more and more grants. And remember, I said 1999. This is 3 years before SARS-1.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The point I make to people is that we did not have SARS, right? We didn't have the coronavirus with that really nasty S1 spike protein. We didn't have coronavirus with that ACE2 receptor binding site amplified. We didn't have it until we had been messing with it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first SARS virus. That's not what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit there and you go, okay, well, hold on a minute. We have 3 years of research on recombinant forms of coronavirus. And then we have an outbreak of SARS. Conveniently, we have it in China. And we also have a clinical presentation of it. And are you ready for this? North Carolina.
Yeah.
That was in 2003. Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
That's right.
So you sit back and you say, well, hold on a minute.
What a coincidence. Yeah.
You know,
right there where he's doing the research.
The question that people always ask is, you know, was this a lab or was this you know, natural or what have you? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you have is people going in and out of animal populations who are messing with the viruses that those animals have.
Mm-hmm.
For some bizarre reason, we have this unidirectional view of history that says that it can only go from animal to human.
Mm-hmm.
We've not contemplated the possibility that a researcher at a bio lab walking into a bat cave could have as easily infected bats and mutated a virus in bats as the other way around.
True. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, from 2003, when the CDC illegally filed their patent, and by the way, let's get something really clear. The fact checkers have lied to the American people about this. CDC said that the reason why they filed a patent on SARS coronavirus was because they wanted to make sure nobody could commercially benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's call out the lie for what it is. You file a patent for commercial benefit. That's what a patent is for.
That's right.
What makes things worse is in 2005, when the patent office told them that they couldn't have their patent because the SARS coronavirus genome had been published, which is, according to the CDC, what they wanted to do. They wanted to just make the world a better place by showing people what the genome of SARS coronavirus was. CDC fought the United States Patent Office over two rejections.
Wow.
Including a final rejection in 2007.
Wow.
And it wasn't until they appealed the final rejection and actually had to sign an affidavit saying, you know what, we actually did make it public domain. We did make it unpatentable. But you still have to give us the patent.
And you now, pointed out in the documentary as well that they've got this, you know, kind of situation where, you know, you point out that the statutes say that you cannot patent something that naturally occurs.
Right.
So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Did you manufacture this so that you can take a patent, or did this naturally occur? If it naturally occurred, how could you get a patent? That's prohibited.
Well,
you can't just identify something and get a
patent.
Listen,
35 U.S. Code Section 101 very clearly says, and this is not my opinion, it is the Supreme Court's opinion. The Supreme Court has said we have long held that patenting nature is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what your definition of long held is, but I would say since the law was written and the Supreme Court has reinforced that law every time it's come up, long held means a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2013, when they said they had long held that it was illegal, that covers 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. The CDC lied. Their public relations officer got up and said to the American people, we're filing a patent to protect you from ever being commercially exploited by SARS coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
If they meant that they were going to make this publicly available, they could hit print. And under the patent law, that means no one can ever patent it.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted the commercial control of SARS coronavirus because they knew that SARS coronavirus had a very particular attribute. The great news is it sounds terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
The best news is in weak populations, some people really get sick and die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the best part about coronavirus, and they knew this then and they know it now, is it resolves itself.
Yeah.
The human body over millennia, over however long we've been walking on 2 feet, the human body is really good at identifying coronaviruses and figuring out how to deal with them.
But I don't
know. So the bummer is, it's actually not terrifying.
Yeah. Well, except that they make it terrifying.
Well,
and that's what's really going to be the thing that's difficult to get rid of is the fear and the terror
right.
and the tyranny that comes along with
that. But that's why I said, and I've said this for a long time now, Section 802 of the Patriot Act was written that says very specifically, if you willfully coerce a population, and if you do that coercion so that you can influence government policy, that is by definition domestic terrorism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Under Section 802 of the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Every governor, every public health officer, everybody who declared a state of emergency on something they knew wasn't.
Yes.
Committed an act of domestic terrorism.
I agree.
And yeah. Every single one of them, from Alex Azar, who declared a pandemic before we ever had one,
mm-hmm.
before we had any evidence. And by the way, the evidence that we even had then, even when we get to late January, early February, the evidence that we have shows that it was foreign intelligence that put information into the open source genome bases. We didn't have a single piece of U.S. science confirming that any of this story was even remotely true. We allowed foreign actors to incite a catalytic act of domestic terrorism in this country, and it was done under the supervision of a gentleman who has been violating Section 12 and 13, I think it is, of 15 U.S. Code, the interlocking directorate's law that prohibits any antitrust activities, including being multiply a director and multiply an executive on competing interests. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is in fact, whether we like him, whether we don't like him, and by the way, this isn't a partisan rant, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, Anthony Fauci has violated the Clayton Act, has violated Section, or United States Code Section 15. That particular law has been broken, and it has been broken since 2003. We have to understand that the patent story tells us that CDC had the intent.
Yes. Yes.
Then, the Department of Health and Human Services has the economic gain, and Anthony Fauci is check writer in chief. He has done market allocation, and listen to the words I used very carefully. That is a legal term. He has done market allocation.
We got to go to break. We're going to be right back. Big news from David Martin, and we're talking about, he's got a lot of this in Plandemic Indoctrination. We're going to be covering this for the next 2 hours.
The trick that social engineers use is very, very simple. They just teach us that the architecture of civilization, that the trajectory of a species is designed by these ever-knowing, loving, liberal technocrats, and that if we just sit back and enjoy the ride, everything will be great. But then they tell us that humans are obsolete, non-essential, that we're bad for the earth, and we need to be phased out. So they're very open about what they're doing, and they count on us just being very passive, living in the matrix-like system that they're building. But what defines humans more than anything from the rest of the quote animal kingdom is that we control our environment. We build our own environments. We create our own systems. We really geoengineer and terraform the planet and its systems towards our aims. But instead, we're acting like animals, letting the globalists play the part of humans and us as cattle. And that's the trick.
All of the experts agree that getting proper sleep is the cornerstone of good health. It has been proven that a poor sleep schedule is linked with numerous health problems, including weight gain, memory issues, mood changes, poor concentration, and even a weakened immune system. Introducing Rocket Rest, the new product from our Dr. Jones Naturals line at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Rocket Rest formula is loaded with the best natural ingredients to help not only improve your quality of sleep, but help you wake up feeling refreshed. Many competitors' sleep formulas focus only on getting you to sleep, but Rocket Rest was specifically formulated to help you feel rested and ready to take on the next day. It uses a unique quick-release capsule system to ensure fast delivery of deep sleep support ingredients like melatonin and magnesium. Rocket Rest helps you fall asleep fast, stay asleep, and wake up feeling rested. So get the new Rocket Rest formula from Dr. Jones Naturals right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
It sounds over the top when I go on air and I explain that the controllers of the planet want to carry out the extermination of the entire human population, except for a few of what they call their new transcendent silicon gods. But that's really what they're now externalizing. They're now taking what was in their textbooks and white papers 30 years ago and actually openly announcing it everywhere. They're going from beta to operational. And think about all these major corporations. They tell you humans are horrible. They tell you humans are a parasite. They tell you that we've all got to be gotten rid of. And then they won't let people see their old folks in nursing homes and then ship in COVID to kill them. That's all organizing as a beta test for larger operations. And everything is a microcosm and a laboratory test of larger scalability of what they are now beginning to roll out. Look at how they're banning medical doctors from promoting therapeutics that are absolutely essential to stop viral infections like COVID-19. This is all absolute information control. This is beyond 1984. Well, Mark Zuckerberg on paper 2 weeks ago put in hundreds of millions of dollars with Bloomberg to launch this Operation Red Mirage to contest the election when it's overwhelmingly clear that Trump has won on election night. Now he's come out in a statement and told all the media in the United States that they better get behind saying that Trump basically lost, that they're not going to let Trump declare victory, even though it's overwhelming. They'll have 95% of the vote done on election night. And even if you added all the other votes in against him, he'd be the winner. They are going to steal this election. They're preparing everyone. You've seen all the scams they've already run. Trump is surrounded by tyrants, but he has We the People, and he has true media. Not independent media, the real media. So now more than ever, it's critical to share the live streams, the videos, the articles, and the information at InfoWars.com, because the globalists fear it most because we were the first to expose their plan to contest the election and drag it out to keep the American people from reelecting President Trump.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
We're back with David Martin, and he features prominently in the next documentary in the Plandemic series. And again, you can find the Plandemic documentaries at PlandemicSeries.com. We also have Plandemic Indoctrination Part 2. We have that at band.video as well. But you can see it at PlandemicSeries.com. You can find David Martin at his company is MCAM.com, also at DavidMartin.world. But David Martin kind of takes the lead in this. So there's a lot of different aspects of Plandemic Indoctrination. We're going to be talking to the filmmaker coming up, and he'll be laying down for us what happened in the wake of the first one, where they talked to the doctor who had a long relationship, shall we say, with Fauci, who really knew where what he had been up to. But David Martin is pulling this out from a different direction. Judy Mikovits was the one who was kind of featured in the first one. It's a long interview with her. And so we're going to be talking about the pushback, the censorship from the press, and how you know, they're controlling the narrative, and how they have attacked the first film in the series. But I wanted to get back to David Martin, because his research going through and looking at patents, I think, is the key thing. And as we were just saying, David, what this really is bioterrorism, because they're using, this fear, whether there is a disease or not. Unfortunately, I think they're going to get something. They've been working on this for quite some time, and, they've been trying to do gain of function research, and we ought to all go back and take a look at why our government is doing this when they continued, they were told to shut down and to stop doing this after all the accidents that around 2013, 2014, they were reported so widely in the media. And so Congress got involved in that. They said, all right, we want you guys to stop. They didn't stop.
Yeah.
Instead, what they did was they continued this at UNC Chapel Hill. They gave $3.7 million to the Wuhan research to do this exact research, coronavirus and bats. And when the research was published from UNC Chapel Hill, you had a big outcry. People said, what's going on? I think it was 2015. This was supposed to have stopped a couple of years ago. And Francis Collins just said at the NIH, Fauci's boss said, no, we just decided that we'd continue doing this. They don't care what anybody says. They don't care what the Constitution says or the law or Congress or anybody. They're going to do whatever they want.
Now, this has been a criminal organization for a very long time. Remember that Department of Health and Human Services and the National Institutes of Health and NIAID and CDC are criminal colluding parties.
Yes.
And I'm saying that word, and that's a heavy word, right? I'm not saying it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting way I define criminal is if there is a explicit law that you are explicitly violating.
Yes.
Right? For me,
right,
that's a crime.
Right.
Now, I understand that the intent goes into the criminality and the nature of everything else. I understand those things. But at the end of the day, this is a criminal organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important to realize that in 2013 and 2014, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill had a tiny little problem because they got an ethics committee together to examine whether or not it would be appropriate to create a synthetic mutant strain of the Wuhan Institute of Virology coronavirus. I wish I was making this up, David.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish I was telling you something that was my imagination, a bad dream, and I'm going to wake from this bad dream and realize that, oh, I must have read that wrong. But I didn't, because in 2013, six miners who were working a cave in China developed all of the symptoms that we now call COVID-19. That was in 2013. Okay? And Ralph Baric's lab and the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Investigation Review Board for their ethics committee got together and said, yes, we think it's ethical, even though NIH had said it's illegal.
Yeah.
We think it's ethical to take a Chinese pathogen and come up with synthetic mutations of a Chinese pathogen called the Wuhan Institute of Virology Coronavirus 1 in 2016. You cannot look at that and say there is anything but criminal intent.
Yes.
Because the government representing the people of the United States has said that this is unethical.
Yes.
Right? We have said we're not going to fund it.
We have said
that this is a line that we cannot cross.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Fauci do? He writes another check. And is proud of the fact that through an alliance between National Institutes of Health, NIAID, and DARPA, we're not talking about $3.7 million laundered through EcoHealth Alliance,
mm-hmm.
because that was money laundering, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is
mm-hmm.
when you actually provide capital to the party who's not the beneficiary of the capital.
That's right.
Money laundering, right? Wire fraud. How many things can we throw on this thing? They knew they were doing it. And not only did they do it, but they also got $1.7 billion a year of our money, our taxpayer dollars, $1.7 billion a year that was directed through NIAID to deal with bioterrorism and biohazard research. Now, the cool thing about that money is it goes into black holes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt, Emory, you know. Right here, University of Texas system gets a lot of that money. There are tons of programs around the country that are getting this money. And the great thing about it is it goes through so many different affiliations that you can't follow it.
Yeah.
But the best part about that news is that if Attorney General Barr was awake right now, he would realize that they handed him the case of a lifetime, right? Fauci should have a federal indictment. He should be cuffed. On camera, he should be hauled off, and all this grandfather nonsense. Oh, he's 79. He looks like a grandfather. Grandfathers can't be wrong. You know what? Stalin looked like a grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Stalin impacted the lives of 40 million Russians. Guess what Fauci's done?
Yes.
He has actually destroyed the livelihoods of 60 million Americans.
Yes. Destroying the middle class.
So when I get the emotional response of, oh, you can't beat up an old guy. Well, actually, I'm not beating up an old guy. I'm pointing out that a criminal, and once again, let's be precise. What is the crime? The crime is by sitting on three boards and being the director of funds, he has violated the Clayton Act of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may have 1,000 reasons why he thinks it's justified, but it isn't. It's a violation of the law.
That's right.
And he should be cuffed. He should be tried. And I would add to everything else the fact that when you authorize a foreign pathogen to enter the United States after the U.S. government has said it is unethical to do gain-of-function research, that's intent.
Yeah.
That's premeditated.
That's right.
Somebody is actually using this criminal to act an unspeakable amount of terror on the U.S. and the global population.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using him because they know he's compromised.
That's right. That's right. And he's getting away with it. There is no interest in the Trump administration and certainly not in the Democrats to do anything about this. Democrats love this. They've handed them the silver platter to remake our society. And you're right. It absolutely is terrorism and clear violation of the law. We'll be right back. David Martin talking about pandemic indoctrination. Stay with us.
I don't want to be right about this prediction. In fact, it's not a prediction. It is a forecast if we continue down the economic road we're on globally with the ongoing COVID-19 lockdowns and the destruction of productivity, it will continue to accelerate these ripple effects that are breaking down supply chains that will starve tens of millions of additional people in the third world and destroy decades of human infrastructure that's been built. It will annihilate the funding of that and put the entire first world in even deeper debt, which we're being maneuvered into. So I really think the smart move is to end all these lockdowns immediately and prosecute the people that launched the giant COVID scam, the giant COVID con game. That's really just a big power grab. But in case we can't reverse all this, we better start digging in and getting storable food and getting prepared to be self-sufficient, because that's the name of their game, is to make us dependent on them. So get self-sufficient now, InfoWars.com.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested.
Arrested.
Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com.
Ever wondered why big tech acts in unison to create monopolies and are so incredibly anti-human, love to censor people, love to cover up for corrupt authoritarian regimes and dictatorships? Well, it's very simple. The first computers ever created were created by Thomas Watson, the founder and owner of IBM, to carry out eugenics. And they helped run the death camps in Nazi Germany. That's what the tattoos were on the slaves' arms. It would decide who lived and who died. So from the beginning, it's been about creating monopolies, cornering markets, and making humans obsolete. The same people brought us baby formula that doesn't have enough protein and fat in it to make your child's brain small. The same people that said, put babies in cribs separate from their mothers, that lowers IQs about 20 points on average as well. These are hardcore eugenicists, survival of the fittest, social Darwinists. Grow up, world. Admit the truth. Quit being soft smuts and letting these globalists run your lives. They are your mortal enemies. They want you dead. Do you understand that? It was in the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that all new cell phones would track your GPS location. I read from the federal law, and listeners couldn't believe me, because that was un-American. Now the media admits that almost every app and every company that are on Apple and Androids don't just track your location, but your surfing history, where you go, who you talk to, your relationships, and they all share the data with each other of what you're doing on the apps as well, including having apps turn on and listen to what you're saying, just like Siri or Alexa do, and then putting databases, transcripts of everything you say into those systems to be saved forever. Your phone is spying on you, and companies are generating secret surveillance scores based on information. This is the global Chinese Communist Social Credit Score. Get your protection privacy pockets at InfoWarsStore.com and cut Big Brother off dead in his filthy tracks. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. David Martin, and he features prominently in the new Plandemic documentary, Plandemic Indoctrination. You'll find those at PlandemicSeries.com. You'll also find it at band.video. We've mirrored it there as well, because one of the things that we'll be talking about coming up in the next hour is with Mickey Willis is the fact that how hard the system is pushing back to make sure that you don't hear this information. And we were talking during the break, Dr. Martin and I were talking about this, and you said, Dr. Martin, that you had a call from the Financial Times. They were looking to debunk what you had to say. Tell the audience what.
Yeah, it was great. I had an amazing, we've had, as you know, after the film came out, there were a bunch of people who just kind of did the hit print on the old, Plandemic One, mm-hmm. you know, debunk stories.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for a lot of people, hitting print was a bad idea because they actually didn't debunk anything in the second Plandemic film. And they still haven't, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're now a month out and they haven't been able to debunk any of it, which is really actually quite fascinating. But interestingly enough, I was approached by several media outlets, and the only one I'm going to give a shout out to is the Financial Times, because they called me and they said, we've got some questions. And listen, USA Today and you know, all of the PolitiFact and Pointer and these guys called.
Yeah.
But Financial Times called and was like, I think this is kind of, you know, another hoax conspiracy theory 101. I said, great. Are you sitting next to the computer?
This stuff sounds really crazy.
I'm going to actually send you information. And by the way, before I do, I'm going to point out that you have been quoting me as an expert in your own publication for many years. So you're going to have a tiny problem. There's a bit of crow to eat if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing, David, is after an hour and a half, I had a very human, very positive interaction. And the Financial Times actually did what media at least should do, which is, while I can't say, because I haven't seen any piece come out, I know that what didn't happen is they didn't regurgitate the debunked story.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that the individual who called me was very intrigued with the information I sent her. And I also pointed out that she may want to be very careful not to be on the last boat of the debunkers, but she might want to be on the first boat of what's coming next.
That's right.
Because we're actually planning a number of things that are informed by following the money. So it's kind of ironic that the Financial Times is the one that kind of decided, maybe we hit pause on the reflex, mm-hmm. and let's think about it a little bit.
And it is about follow the money.
It's always,
when you've got billions or tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars floating around, that can breed a lot of corruption. You
know,
I've talked about the fact that you're not ever going to play any kind of campaign finance reform, because as long as you got that kind of money floating around in Washington, it's going to be like a black hole to draw in every crook and grifter in the universe.
That's exactly
right.
When
you got that kind of money. So let's talk about some of the grifters and crooks in the universe.
So it's funny. I mean, Event 201, you had it in a previous segment, and I think Alex has talked about Event 201. It's important to realize that the cover story of Event 201 is something that hasn't been discussed in the media. Open Philanthropy, not the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, not Johns Hopkins University, and not the World Economic Forum. Open Philanthropy was the funder of Event 201. People don't talk about that. You know why? Because they didn't have their name anywhere in the mix. They didn't have their name on the banners. They didn't have their name anywhere in the masthead, but they wrote the check for it. You know what else they wrote the check for?
What's that?
They wrote the check for a company called Sherlock Biosciences. Sherlock Biosciences was desperately seeking to get a means by which they could get their emergency use authorization of a CRISPR technology-based virus detection technology approved by the FDA. They, along with, are you ready for this, 5,100 other patent holders, on SARS, SARS-CoV-2, genetics, mRNA, vaccine, therapies, and detection, 5,100 other patent holders, 133 other companies are all seeing this moment in time as a moment where they can rob the U.S. taxpayer and the global economy. They can rob it through the cunning use of an emergency use authorization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that Open Philanthropy was funded by and is the money transfer arm, I won't say laundering yet, but it's dangerously close, because they pass through a number of their own internally controlled entities,
mm-hmm.
which is always where you kind of start smelling rats.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you smell rats is by virtue of the droppings, right? I mean, we don't see the rat, but we see the droppings. But the interesting thing is, founded by a Facebook co-founder.
Mm.
Obviously, Facebook hasn't played any role in any of the mind control exercises of the last 10 months. You just sit there going, I wish I wish this script wasn't writing itself so well, because it is so easy to look at. But if we watch and we look at the billions and billions of dollars that have been spent on what is passed off into the guise of bioterrorism and bioreadiness and warfighter preparation and all this kind of nonsense, right? Ever since 2001, remember, we're on the dangerously close anniversary of the real domestic terrorism that took place in September of 2001. The anthrax scare, right?
And
which came from what,
June.
Right? The anthrax scare, where the U.S. Army had already been buying 300 million doses of ciprofloxacin from Bayer in the spring of 2001 for a disease that we hadn't seen since we were hide tanners.
Yeah.
I don't know how many hide tanners you know. I know we're in Texas, and I know you got great boots down here, but hide tanners, they're the ones that usually get anthrax. So since we've all been in the hide tanning business, we needed 300 million doses of ciprofloxacin from Bayer.
Yeah.
For an event that hadn't happened yet. That happened the end of September 2001. But ever since then, people have realized that this whole pathogen scare, right? Get a couple people sick. And by the way, I'm not diminishing the people in nursing homes who legitimately died and in places like New York, courtesy of the willful acts of a governor who decided to use humans as bioweapons to go into nursing homes and help aid the expiration of the elderly. That's not a funny thing. That's disgusting.
That's right.
And we should call it what it is. But the fact of the matter is, people realize this is a moneymaker, because if you can create fear around a pathogen, right? And you and I sit there going, how do we know if we have anthrax? How do we know if we have, you know, a SARS-CoV? Like, how do we know? The cool thing is, if you control the means, you control the motive, and you control the mechanism, which is the CDC patent, right? The CDC patent made it impossible for anybody else to know. So now they have the whole ball of wax, and they then send money to the people who are willing to have their silence bought while this country is destroyed.
Yes, yes. Before we go, because we've got to come up to a break here, but you're talking about how they had already prepared for this anthrax, this rare disease that had not been around for a while, and stockpiled all of this stuff, and then they roll that out after September 11th, when everybody's on edge after the buildings collapse and so forth. They had, three buildings fall with two planes. And they had already run a simulation back in June, very much like these, you know, three event, that we had this, last time, John Hopkins at the center of all these. And so they'd run one dark winter back in June of 2001. They put together the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act to push this out so they could get around the 10th Amendment and, say, well, this isn't coming from the federal government. It's coming from, the governors and so forth. All that was put in place, as well as the anthrax stuff was there. And as soon as the anthrax scare happened, then this Model State Health Emergency Powers Act that they had already written before September 11th, they pushed that out with the anthrax
thing. Yep. And listen, the whole thing has been not only a setup, but it is the economic cash cow for governors who can keep states of emergency going so that the companies that are their check writers for their campaigns keep flowing capital into them so they stay in power.
We'll talk about that as well, because there's a lot of corruption. It's not just the big corporations, what'd you say, 130 some odd, getting ready to load up the cash, but it's also the corruption with the governors that are part of this. We'll be right back.
As men age, they often experience a slowdown in vitality, energy, and overall wellness. And that's why we made one of our most popular formulas to date, Super Male Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper balance to create superior vitality in males. Now look, this unique formula promotes your body's own natural responses, and it contains no synthetic chemicals and no unwanted additives. Yes, we're talking about ancient wisdom combined with modern technology, working together in perfect synchronicity to help you get the most out of this herb-packed formula. So what are you waiting for? Go to the InfoWars store. Never been a better time than right now. Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com.
As of 54 days out,
The globalist child molesting devil worshippers know they're in trouble, and they know Trump's going to win in landslides. They're saying they're going to contest the election and plunge the country into civil war. And they are throwing hack attacks at InfoWars, dirty tricks, attempts to shut us down. It's incredible. That's why now more than ever, your financial support at InfoWarsStore.com is critical. It's what keeps us in the game. We've only got a few months of backup. If money wasn't coming in, we'd be shut down, and that's not good. We need to have extra money in our coffers to be able to expand in this home stretch, not just contract. We're winning, but these scumbags aren't going to give us the victory without a fight. So I know you're going to step up at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got free shipping on a bunch of our best-selling items, a bunch of new items that came back in stock. We've got privacy pockets so your phones don't track you, great supplements, books, films, T-shirts, and so much more. Get prepared and fund the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com. God bless you all. The party was not going to go on forever. All the welfare, all the entertainment, all the decadence was only designed to get people domesticated, dumbed down, selfish, and most importantly, isolated. And now that most of the population is selfish, isolated, and very, very dumbed down and ignorant, the New World Order is making its move. And they are now going to weaponize the giant masses of foolish followers who believe if they just follow orders, they'll get another little piece of green, like when the chicken pecks at the lever. And then all that they're really going to get is the noose tightened around their foolish neck. Those of us that are aware and informed can laugh at the massive slaves, but remember, they are a dangerous weapon pointed at our throats, and so we've got to save them to save ourselves. And to do that, we've got to expose the globalists. We've got to take it to them politically and absolutely annihilate them with the crimes that they've actually committed. Expose the enemy now. It couldn't have been scripted any better. That's because it was completely scripted, and we even know the names of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, and John Hopkins documents. We have the script, just like you'd have for a Hollywood movie. And it's designed to freeze civilization and have a post-Renaissance stagnation or new dark age and a total consolidation of all wealth and power in the hands of the kleptocratic post-humanist. The magnitude of this is unfathomable, but you can see all the checkboxes of tyranny are being marked carefully, every I dotted, every T crossed, a total societal vertical integration, takeover, medical tyranny, total surveillance. The big tech heads, on average, have had their wealth go up 35% in the last 8 months. And of course, Jeff Bezos has basically doubled his. Everyone is being forced onto their system, the post-human robot takeover. You're being made obsolete.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. David Martin again. You can find him at his company is mcam.com, and you can also find him at davidmartin.com, and you can find him in the latest documentary, Plandemic Indoctrination. You can find that at plandemicseries.com. We also have that mirrored at band.video, and coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to the filmmaker, Mickey Willis. He's going to be here talking about the and part of the documentary Indoctrination is talking about how they have effectively controlled the narrative through censorship and through their own quote unquote fact checkers. And so he gets into that a great deal. But David Martin is a part of the documentary talking about the money trail, talking about the patents, talking about the criminal actions of Fauci and others who have continued to engage in gain of function, when they were told not to. And the interlocking directories and violation of the law, clear violations of the law. As we were just talking during the break, told David Martin, I said, I've had Charles Ortel on many times talking about the Clinton Foundation and the fact that they've never filed any of their reports that they have to do as a charitable foundation. But, you know, no problem. We just look the other way because of who they are. And that's really what is happening with Fauci. If Attorney General Barr wanted to shut this down, if President Trump wanted to shut this down, they could take Fauci off of the podium in handcuffs, and they should. He and these other people at the NIH and the CDC. We got more to say about that coming up. Before we get back to David, I just want to mention real quickly about the products that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what funds this program. And we now have storable food back in stock. Again, it'll last for 25 years in case you don't need it. But things are looking not too good for this winter, quite frankly. As we've seen the tyranny that has happened in Australia, as we hear Fauci talking about how he wants to ramp this up again, I fully expect that this is going to happen. We're going to see people coming down with colds. They're going to be diagnosed as COVID-19. We've already seen this happen. These PCR tests that they're using cannot distinguish between one coronavirus and another. So they're going to use that, I think, to increase the lockdown. And we've already seen what that did at the beginning of this with our food supply. And I got a letter from one of our listeners. As a matter of fact, Vince Agnelli has been on a couple of times to talk about doing something at the local level there in Virginia. And he said, I just got this notice from our beef guy. He used to put out orders with a 30-day lead time. After the COVID stuff, he went crazy. And now he's giving notice that an order in September will not be delivered until December. He said the people better really budget for any storable food they can carry. And so he sent me the forwarded the beef delivery notification saying starting in March, we got really busy with orders. I'm taking reservations now for beef for December delivery. So it's already starting in some areas. So you want to make sure that you have prepared for this in advance. We had that same situation happen in March. And we got so far out, first it went to like 8, then to 9 weeks, then we just stopped taking orders because it got so backlogged. But now we're about to 1 to 2 weeks. It's not a couple of months like he is on beef. And if you don't need it, you're going to have it for 25 years. It's made in America. It's non-GMO. Some of the best packaging you're going to find. And now is the time to prepare. People laughed about preppers. Well, nobody's laughing now. So make sure that you prepare. InfoWarsStore.com. And we've also got some other specials. Up to 60% off plus free shipping. Many different products at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, David, let's talk about what is coming up. Because we look at this and how this has continued to stretch out. We're now at over, I think, 183 days by my reckoning that we've had the lockdown. So over 6 months. And things continue to get worse, even though we can see that nothing is happening. As I was just saying, I had to go back to North Carolina for family, came back through through Gatlinburg, and people, the sidewalks are just packed.
Yep.
And probably not even 10% of the people had masks on. I think it's far less than that. No social distancing. They've got signs everywhere, but nobody's enforcing anything. And so they're ignoring this. Everybody knows that it's not an issue. People are not dying, but they're ramping up. They're keeping what they've got, and they're adding more restrictions.
Yeah, so the CDC just got a very interesting emergency use authorization that, once again, no media coverage, nobody talking about it. But they have actually applied for and received from the FDA now this wonderful multi-pathogen disease test kit. Influenza A, influenza B, SARS coronavirus, and a couple other cats and dogs. CDC just applied for it. FDA just gave them the emergency use authorization within a few days ago.
Wow.
And what that is a way to confound the numbers, because now we are going to count new cases.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, new cases has never meant new patients.
That's right.
Right? We have never once seen any public health official actually count the number of people tested.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number of tests.
And we've got thousands of college
students.
We have
tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people who actually go back for multiple tests. So we know that every bit of this thing has been built on a lie. But we also were told back in March that we couldn't return to normal before there was a vaccine. Now, in the history of public health outbreaks, we have never had the cure before we even knew the disease, right?
Yeah.
But no matter where you were, every head of state, every governor got up and said, we have to have a vaccine, which means that this was, in fact, manufactured at least for one beneficiary, which was the vaccine manufacturers. Well, here's a tiny little spoil alert for them. They have not seen what's coming. I actually have this really, really unfortunate problem of having looked at their patents. And you know, the bummer is, these people who have acted with impunity and contempt, these people who have tried to destroy the fabric of this country, are going to find out that if you're going to be Goliath, don't piss off a David.
What'd you find?
Because it turns out that they don't have what they say they have when it comes to their proprietary rights. It turns out that Anthony Fauci lied to the president, sitting next to the president, lied to the president of the United States about who was the front runner for vaccine manufacturing. He conveniently put his stooges up, you know, the Modernas and the Oxfords and the Pfizers and the Mercks, and he put his stooges up. And, you know, notice I didn't mention J&J. J&J is a special stooge. I'll get to them in a minute. But it turns out that what he did was he put up people who have been violating the law since 2010. Moderna, when it was founded, conveniently forgot to disclose in every single one of over 130 patent filings that their research was actually paid for by the United States government. And in 1979, it became the law that if you got a patent on a federally funded project, you had to disclose that interest. That's the law. That's not my opinion. That's the law. Moderna has not done that on any of their patents, specifically any of the ones associated with their mRNA vaccines. And part of the reason why they didn't is because if you go back and you look at their research documents that support the patent documents, you find out some pretty nasty things. Most notably, that Moderna doesn't own the technology for the lipid nanoparticle that's required to be used in their vaccine.
Oh.
That's not theirs.
Wow.
Here's what Fauci, I think, wanted to do. I think Fauci wanted to get the president right to the edge of October. I think he wanted the president to go out on a limb and say, hey, you know what? We're going to have a vaccine before the election. I think he set him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what's going to happen is that the day Moderna or Pfizer or anybody else comes out with their vaccine, because they rushed it through, no safety, no efficacy, just rushed it through, I think what's going to happen is on or about the day that the vaccine announcement happens, an injunction is going to be filed. It's going to be a patent infringement case. And it turns out that I think Fauci wants the president to fall flat on his face. I think he put the worst company in front, the greatest violator of the law.
And Moncef Slaoui was on their board.
And he wanted to put them in front so that the president is embarrassed in chief. The October surprise is not going to be Iran hostages this time, right? The October surprise is going to be the president having been advised by criminals. And let's get really clear on that. I'm not saying he did something. I'm saying he was put up to it. And while I will never, ever justify, because at the end of the day, I'm a CEO. You know what? The buck stops with me. If I screw up, it's on me. But if I was set up, that's a different story.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that you can't, once Trump bought into this idea that the only way out of this lockdown was with a vaccine. Yeah. And in the documentary, we see, as we've seen more, and as there's a clip in there of all the different news people using the same talking points.
Yeah.
But the what is really good is the clip that shows all of the politicians in country after country using the same talking points.
Exactly right.
It's scripted.
Yep.
It's scripted just like the news is scripted. We'll be right back. David Martin, we got one more segment, and then we'll be joined by Mickey Willis. We're talking about plandemic indoctrination.
The trick that social engineers use is very, very simple. They just teach us that the architecture of civilization, that the trajectory of a species is designed by these ever-knowing, loving, liberal technocrats, and that if we just sit back and enjoy the ride, everything will be great. But then they tell us that humans are obsolete, non-essential, and we're bad for the earth, and we need to be phased out. So they're very open about what they're doing, and they count on us just being very passive, living in the matrix-like system that they're building. But what defines humans more than anything from the rest of the, quote, animal kingdom is that we control our environment. We build our own environments. We create our own systems. We really geoengineer and terraform the planet and its systems towards our aims. But instead, we're acting like animals, letting the globalists play the part of humans and us as cattle. And that's the trick. The clock is ticking on the once free world, and the free press is under attack more than ever. I now see videos 10 or 15 times a day without even trying to find them
of press being arrested in the United States, press being arrested in Canada, the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And it's always the so-called liberal left, the defenders of speech, doing it. They are the authoritarians. They work for the Chi-Com globalist combine. And they are working around the clock to silence InfoWars. Just as we were the group they started with 3 years ago, they test out everything new on us. And a lot of it I can't get into on air at this point. I'll be able to reveal this later. But I just want to make you all realize that your support, your word of mouth, your prayer is absolutely essential. And I thank you all for it. But whatever you do, take advantage of the great products that support the InfoWar and make your life healthier and better at InfoWarsStore.com. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. The David Knight Show.
All right, we've got one more segment with Dr. David Martin, and then we're going to have Mickey Willis behind the documentary Plandemic, the first one, as well as the newest one, Plandemic Indoctrination. And Dr. Martin was a prominent part of that. As a matter of fact, it begins with your research into patents. We're talking about the bogus patents that Moderna has filed based on public information that they don't really have a patent on. But I thought it was interesting that you went back. First thing you saw was that about a third of the patents, when you started doing your research, were basically just fraudulent and just reworking the wording a little bit. I mean, this is a big scam, isn't it?
Well, hey, I love one of my favorite quotes of all time is a patent on a plug. And you're familiar with a plug, right? A piece of plastic, two prongs coming out of it.
Yeah.
Where the patent that issued was on hermaphroditic mateable insertable tongues for the purpose of conducting current. And that's quoted from a patent, right? It's mind bending, right? These are things. But listen, the whole system is rigged, right? Yeah. This is corruption through and through because the patents shouldn't have been issued, but that gave people the ability to control markets that they shouldn't have been able to control. The Department of Health and Human Services had the interlocking directorates. They put somebody who they knew had no moral compass, a guy named Anthony Fauci, at the helm of this thing. He was check writer in chief. He was interlocking directorate in chief. He was racketeering and price fixing in chief. He was doing all of those things. This is corruption, but he only gets away with it because the system fails to hold people accountable, and accountability and transparency.
Yeah.
And of course, is actually Fauci endemic across the whole board. And I have to say, one of the reasons why I was so proud to be in Plandemic, because the contrast between what's happening in that world and what's happening in the world that Mickey Willis tried to build around the whole Plandemic series is very simple. Mickey didn't believe a word I said. He didn't believe a single word. In fact, after I left his studio, he said, I'm not sure that this could even be any part of this could be possible, because what David Martin is saying is so unbelievable that I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to go back and independently verify the facts. That's you know what he did? He did that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, one of the things that's the greatest moment in my life is to have somebody who looks at me and says, I'm not doing a character assassination. You're not going to be a worse human being because I'm going to verify that what you're saying is true. I'm going to go back and confirm because I want you to be bulletproof, right? Mickey's integrity in making this film had more to do with making sure that not a single fact checker, not a single bullet could pierce the absolute truth of what we were doing. And I have to say, he's a model. He's a model of where we can go.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I don't want to leave us on a note where we go, oh, crap, the world's falling apart. It is. But there are people of integrity rising in this moment.
That's right. That's right.
And Mickey is one of those people.
And I love the way he, as a matter of fact, I want to play it, not coming up, but before we finish with Mickey's interview, I want to play the way he ends the documentary, Pandemic Indoctrination. It's one of the most hopeful things I have seen. And this year.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Awful year.
Absolutely.
You know, talking about how we can turn this around and rise up. And this is really what's going to, we have to understand these institutions have failed. how corrupt they are, how these politicians have been bought off. And just mention a couple of aspects of this. I mean, here in Texas, we've talked about the fishy MTX corporation, $300 million to a corporation nobody's ever heard of, a guy with a bogus resume to do contact tracing. I mean, there's so much corruption in all of this stuff.
Yeah, and listen, governors across the country right now are making inside deals. There are diagnostic labs that are getting kickbacks. There are health administrations that are getting kickbacks. There are hospital, entire groups of regional rural hospitals that are now being consolidated conveniently under large managed health organizations, right? The way in which this is rolling out is corruption through and
through. Right. That's right.
And it is important that we understand that this is not for we the people. This is not for our health.
That's right.
This is
right.
for the manipulation and control of a few.
Just as we hear the Untouchables, it's organized crime. We'll be right back with Mickey Willis. Stay with us.
Dependency. Domestication. In the real world, ignorance is not bliss. It's enslavement and it's death. The globalists are teaching us all that we're non-essential. With automation, they're bringing in a world that doesn't empower humanity, but makes us obsolete. But we're not obsolete. We don't have to listen to them. We can farm again. We can garden. We can become self-sufficient. But first, we've got to learn to stand up politically for ourselves, and we need to become self-sufficient. That begins with water filtration to take control of that from the globalists and their fluoride and their dumbing down agenda, and with storable food. And we have it all, the highest quality, the highest rated, at the lowest prices at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action now. You cannot lose unless you do not take action. We have the best water filtration, the best storable food, and it funds the InfoWar. Take action now while you still can. Become prepared. Become self-sufficient now at InfoWarsStore.com.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
On behalf of our center and our partners, the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to our audience here in New York, as well as our larger virtual audience participating online today. The Event 201 scenario is fictional. Today's scenario is going to simulate meetings of a multi-stakeholder group called the Pandemic Emergency Board.
We're at the start of what's looking like it will be a severe pandemic. And there are problems emerging that can only be solved by global business and governments working together.
There's been some conspiracy theories that are around about the potential that pharmaceutical companies or the UN have released this for their own benefit.
And maybe this is a time for us to showcase some cases where we are able to bring forward some bad actors and leave it before the courts to decide whether they have actually spread some fake news.
A new coronavirus. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia.
In related news, a significant demand for personal protective equipment like N95 masks and gloves are on the rise. Patients are overwhelming healthcare facilities. People are avoiding public spaces out of fear of infection and in compliance with public health recommendations. Our U.S. affiliate has just released polling results on public expectations for a vaccine. And 65% of those polled are eager to take the vaccine, even if it's experimental.
I am not optimistic about having the vaccine in time to be relevant during this pandemic.
With enough money and political will, anything is possible.
Penalties have been put in place for spreading harmful falsehoods, including arrests.
If the solution means controlling and reducing access to information, I think it's the right choice.
What exactly are the risks and benefits of staying home from work? Absolutely, we need to save lives. But we literally cannot afford a heavy-handed response that suffocates our economy.
The world saw large-scale protests and in some places riots. This led to violent crackdowns in some countries and even martial law. The public lost trust in their respective administration. Economists say the economic turmoil caused by such a pandemic will last for years. The societal impacts, the loss of faith in government, the distrust of news, and the breakdown of social cohesion could last even longer. We have to ask, did this need to be so bad?
All right, and that's the beginning of Plandemic Indoctrination. And we have with us the investigative filmmaker Mickey Willis, who did the first Plandemic. And, of course, you really set the world on fire with that. They came after Dr. Mikovits and you with all their claws out. You got the full Alex Jones treatment, as we were talking about before. And we'll talk about that coming up. But let's begin where your film begins, with Event 201, because I think this is very, very important. When we talk about indoctrination, I look at this and I understand, you know, they've been fine-tuning this. So the people that were going to run this, with the bureaucrats and the health people and the people in the military industrial complex, they've been wargaming this on an annual basis since before 9/11, going back to June of 2001, dark winter, and they've been doing it on an annual basis, but they've been getting, you know, fine-tuning this with, as everybody could see there, they have their news events, and each one of these simulations that they run, Mickey, they end up with the same moral to the story. They tell the guys, well, everybody died because you didn't enact draconian enough lockdowns and you didn't accelerate the vaccine enough. And then they finally get, when they get to Event 201, it's an exact replica of what we just had happen.
So true. And it was kind of a shock when I started to dig up all of these different simulations that have taken place even long before 201 have mm-hmm. taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Even going back to a lot of the manifestos that have been written simulation form back to the 60s that really describe the ramping up to what we're experiencing right now. I mean, this is why we called it Plandemic, because it's clear that that they know exactly what to expect. Mm-hmm. How the people are going to react.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the general idea of a simulation, I think, is a very logical thing. You know, we need to be prepared for these things. So to run a simulation to understand what we might do in the case of an emergency is a very logical thing that, you know, in itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start to look at the entire mosaic of all the different simulations and manifestos that have been written, all the suggestions of what's coming in the future, you start to see something a little more nefarious at play here, where there's a normalization of mm-hmm. concepts that they're preparing us to succumb to, not just be prepared for,
mm-hmm.
but to literally take the lead when the time comes and they start to give us the directions like they're giving us now, that we're all suddenly falling in line. And
that's right. If you're going to go back and if you look at this and you're really concerned and you really want to try to minimize the damage, then you would do things like you would maybe prepare to have personal protective equipment.
Yeah.
Or you might have tests for this type of stuff, right? And so you would think that if they're running all of these simulations, then they're running mm-hmm. simulations for this exact same scenario, that they might have done something on that side of it. But all the preparation has been on the political side of it.
Yeah.
And on the lockdown side of it. And to prepare the people who are actually going to be running those types of political martial law lockdown that we've seen for the last 6 months.
Yeah, and that's really the question that I ask in the film. The thing that struck me as I started to look at all of these different scenarios that have happened through the years is, well, if they knew, and as a media producer, a veteran media producer, I know how long it takes to produce an event like Event 201. And so the question I ask in the film is, if they knew this a year before the pandemic, and then years before with Cladex and the different simulations that have occurred, if they knew that we would be lacking all of these instruments, if they knew exactly what would be happening, why wouldn't these incredibly wealthy sponsors, the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates of the world and Johns Hopkins and all the different people that were involved in this, if they knew this a year, 5 years, 10 years ago, and well before, why wouldn't the money be invested in having that, those bases covered?
Mm-hmm.
But it's as if they were preparing us to not have them covered.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As if they were going to use that.
That's exactly
to enact their political agenda. I like the way this begins with Event 201, and then we were just talking to David Martin for the last hour. He gets into the money trail of this, the patent trail of this, the bioweapon aspect of this. That's one of the things. I mean, you know, going back to 2013, 2014, when all this stuff blew up, and you've got all these clips in the documentary about how they pull back on the research, and yet, you know, as we all know now, Fauci continued under the radar. They found out a couple years later, and the scientific community was outraged because they thought they'd stop this, you know, to this gain of function research to at least go back and reassess and try to make things safer. But I, frankly, I don't think that there is any ethical or scientific case to make for this. And a lot of scientists said the same thing. So why would you even do something? Why would you create a chimera like this? Because you're either going to use it as a weapon or it's going to escape out of the lab. Nothing good can come from this, except they've used it for their purpose. But you would think at that point that one of the preparations might be just to shut that stuff down. But instead, they roll with it. You've got that there. You've also got the all the connections going back to the usual suspects, especially Bill Gates. And I love what you had there from the a spokesperson in India. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was Dr. Colin Gonsalves. And as we were trying to find the footage that I found 10 years ago when I began, first began to really look into Bill Gates and the vaccine issue before I had my first child, my wife and I started to really dig deep into, really wanted to be informed on what, how to move forward with the, this issue of vaccines with our own children. And I found, at that time, I was a fan of Bill Gates. I had bought into the narrative of this incredibly generous philanthropist that was using his fortune to make the world better. And I loved that narrative. But as I started to dig into this and I started to find one bit of evidence after another, and particularly, you know, testimonies from the people in these countries of Africa and India and beyond, and I saw all this footage of the children who had been harmed by these trials that had been massive failures and had left kids.
And we're going to talk, we got to take a break. We're going to talk about that when we come back. That is a key part of this. How did he turn? We'll be right back.
You can watch a factory of robots being controlled by wireless internet commands. But if you were a person just 200 years ago and you saw that, you'd think it was magic. You wouldn't even know really what the machines were or what was controlling them. So for that person, it would be spiritual or it would be something of the spirit. And it's similar to how ducks and butterflies and many other species of animal know how to fly thousands and thousands of miles back to the exact place where they were born. They're following magnetic lines. They have magnetic cells in their brains. We now know scientifically what's going on, but there's even a lot more than that. So when we talk about the spirit, we're talking about all the dark matter. We're talking about all the things you don't understand, but we know it's there. And just like you can have a bunch of robots working off a wireless system, that's what's going on with this satanic transmission that's working through people. And that's how this entity behind it all is able to direct it, because it is a consciousness manipulated through the space-time continuum.
The ultimate fluoride-free charcoal mouthwash is now available at InfoWarsStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com for the lowest price possible to complete your daily mouth cleaning routine. It is the perfect companion to the new activated charcoal toothpaste, all under our new line by Dr. Jones Naturals, that will naturally give your mouth and breath a deep clean. This mouthwash only uses the best natural ingredients like real peppermint oil, thyme oil, xylitol, and of course, high-quality charcoal. Not only fluoride-free, this mouthwash is completely free of other dangerous ingredients such as SLS, harsh detergents, BPA, and so much more. As soon as you use it, you can tell that this formula is the real deal. So get your bottle of the new activated charcoal mouthwash right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
A little more than a decade ago, it happened in Salt Lake City, Utah. The public came out on a very clear day and looked up more than 60,000 feet and saw what they thought was a giant UFO. It was actually a large DARPA government surveillance blimp. There were thousands of phone calls made to the police departments, newspapers, TV stations, thinking it was an alien craft. When the public was told that it was a blimp, they didn't want to believe it. You see, they'd already told themselves it was a UFO, so they had cognitive dissonance. It's kind of like the fact that COVID-19 is hundreds of times weaker than the flu, but people still want to live in fear and wear a mask outside, even in their cars, even in their houses. Well, it happened again over New Jersey yesterday. The Goodyear blimp was out there with a big Jumbotron TV screen on the side of it and had flashing lights on it, just like an airplane. And the public thought it was a UFO, and now the public still believes it was a UFO, even though they were told it wasn't.
See, that's called a highly suggestible group of slaves. Ignorance does not equal bliss. Ignorance equals slavery. If you're ignorant, walking through a field at night that there's a 6-foot hole up ahead, you're going to step in it and probably break your ankle, or maybe worse. Well, it's the same thing happening to human civilization. The industrialized age really empowered humanity in many respects, but also took us away from the land, made us very, very domesticated and very, very easy to manipulate. And now corruption and predatory activity can hide behind that complexity. Now, I know what's going on behind the complexity because I go read what the UN and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Davos Group and the Bilderberg Group and all their subsidiaries, like the Club of Rome, say. So I know exactly what's going on. Not because I'm even that cool or special a person, but I'm actually want to be empowered and informed because I'm a history buff. I know that those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The globalists think you're stupid. They laugh at you because you won't research their own admissions.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Talking about the second Plandemic and the Plandemic series. And of course, you can find those films at PlandemicSeries.com. We're talking to the filmmaker, Mickey Willis. By the way, we have mirrored that film at band.video, just in case something happens. But you can find it at PlandemicSeries.com. Excellent film. I saw it last night with my wife, and there is a lot of information there, folks. You need to see this. A lot of different aspects of this. Before we went to break, we just started talking about India. But before we get back into that, tell us a little bit about how you got drawn into this.
Well, this is actually a very personal story to me because when I was in my early 20s, I watched my brother die of bad AIDS treatments. Mm. And during that time, I remember the community that surrounded my brother informing us that he didn't die from the virus, but from the medicines and from the people who were pushing these medicines, and that we needed to pursue legal charges back then. But 23 days later, my mom died of bad cancer treatments. Mm. And so we just kind of went into mourning, and I put it all behind me and just wanted to forget about all of it. And then moved to Los Angeles. That's where my film career began. And then, you know, years later, 2 years ago, a doctor friend of mine introduced me to Dr. Michalowicz and said she has a new book coming out, and we just want help in the media somehow to get her story out there. We don't know if it, you know, we want to talk with you about perhaps making a movie about her book. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but we need to get this woman's story out there. She's been silenced. And so she came to my office, sat down, she told me her full story, and I have a really solid BS detector, and I was watching mm-hmm. her very carefully, mm-hmm. and I could just see the trauma in her eyes and her and hear it in her voice, and I knew that she was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so, and then when the pandemic was announced, I reached out to her to get deeper information. I said, I smell a rat, and I want to hear from your perspective what you think is happening. And so we had a quick meeting. During the meeting, I decided, I said, you know what, just come to my office. I'll turn on a couple cameras and we'll sit down and we'll do an interview because I think the world needs to know this. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first Plandemic. We cut it together. I was in the middle of producing another movie at the time, which was really about the corruption of the media. It was called The Narrative. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's pause that movie. There's nothing more urgent right now than this situation we're experiencing.
And then you became part of that narrative. Right?
And then suddenly just kind of fell into it, which is not my intention.
You know, and it was, you know, when you talk about a BS detector, you know, what they did to her, people look at that, and if you haven't seen that before, but I have seen it before. I've interviewed the NSA whistleblowers, William Binney, Thomas Drake, and others who had, you know, the government come after them, try to manufacture evidence. And, you know, I've seen people who've been caught up in that mm-hmm. when they get right there at the center of the narrative that they're pushing, this false narrative that they're pushing. And when they have something that is very big, very powerful, of course, Benny and Thomas Drake were there exposing, how 9/11 was being used to do dragnet surveillance on everybody. But now we're way beyond that. This is going to be used to, take this to two more levels. So I understand that they would come after her for that, but it was very, very important. And of course, the reaction that the media had to that validated that, because you got everybody coming after you. And you've got a segment in the latest documentary, Indoctrination, Plandemic Indoctrination, where you talk about these so-called fact-checking organizations. I don't want to get into that in the next segment, but we stopped with India and with Bill Gates. And I think that is something that is very, very important, because it's not only Bill Gates, but you keep seeing the same cast mm-hmm. of the usual suspects. And so when you look at what was happening there with India and the HPV vaccine and the injuries that were there that you talk about in the film, you know, you've got Moncef Slaoui, who was he's proud of the fact that at GlaxoSmithKline, he developed the HPV vaccine that was injuring people in India.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all these same people that just keep getting recycled around, and you see them. They're all at these conferences where they've been planning all this stuff, but they're all this inner clique of people who are pushing this vaccine agenda everywhere.
It's so true. Yeah, the same names show up, same organizations, same companies, same manufacturers. They mm-hmm. show up when you start digging deep enough.
Yeah, and it's like you're talking about AIDS. Yeah. Fauci was pushing remdesivir for HIV, and then that didn't fly. So then he pushed it again for Ebola.
That's right.
But now he's got exactly what he wants, because, you know, he did his own study and nobody reviewed it. He just pronounced that it was a standard of care and got away with it.
That's so true. And we tend to just forget these things. You know, a few years pass and we forget what happened, you know, in the last decade. And that was what I was getting to with the India story. Was we literally, I had my research team, and I want to be clear, for the past couple of years, my team has been primarily focused on what we call forensic filmmaking. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work that the public doesn't even see. Right now we're in the middle of a high-profile murder case. Mm. And so because everything is filmed now, Big Brother is everywhere, when the investigators are taking fingerprints and hair samples and all of that, we collect all the video and we recreate what happened from digital footage. And so, you know, we have a really incredible research team, and I put that team on the Bill Gates issue and to find footage that I had seen 10 years, 9 years earlier, and it was gone. It was nowhere on.
Wow.
And so I had to actually call the man who started the Indian Parliament inquiry that investigated the trials that found Bill Gates and all the people that were involved in sterilizing and paralyzing thousands of Indian children. The man who headed that investigation, I had to actually call him, interview him for the movie to get the information. And he said, yeah, it's nowhere online anymore. It's been completely scrubbed.
Wow.
But he was able to show me the documents and to talk about what happened and just to reaffirm. So I didn't want to say anything in this film that we couldn't completely confirm and show documentation for.
Yeah. And that's the thing I loved about the film. The accuracy and the quantity of information was excellent. I loved the production values. Look great. But, you know, hey, it's really about the information.
Yeah.
And, you know, the information was good enough that even if you had lousy production values, it would still be worth watching it. But fortunately, it's easy on the eyes as well. It's very slick.
The media is now calling slick filmmaking.
Yeah,
so that's,
it is slick.
That's one of the ways that they get people to turn away, I guess.
That's right.
High quality now means.
You that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. They don't say it's got high production values. It's slick. But no, it does look good. And that doesn't diminish it, except in, you know, they'll use anything to come after you. And when we come back, we'll talk about that Poynter Institute. And you point out that there's connections to Bill Gates, the Poynter Institute as well, you know, funding the fact checkers that are out there taking people down. When we look at this, though, the fact that Bill Gates is driven to do this, I mean, what do you make of this, his obsession with viruses?
From computers to people.
Yeah, exactly. He was always known for viruses in that respect. But.
Yeah, you know, it's, he's such an enigma. I was the lead editor on Plandemic, and when I was working on that 20-minute piece of Bill Gates, it was just, you know, just putting all the pieces together, I still find it perplexing to know exactly what his end game agenda is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely serving something there because.
He is.
There, you know.
There was a big change in 1998. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about a little bit about that when we come back, and we'll talk about what happened in terms of the censorship It's not anything that is unusual for us here at InfoWars, but congratulations to you for stepping into that fight. We'll be right back.
Remember 15 days to flatten the curve because the hospitals were so full? Of course, all that was a lie. All that was a fraud. The Rockefeller and Bill Gates documents from the beginning are on record. They said the mask wearing will never end. The social distancing will never end. The forced inoculations will never end. The social tracking through your cell phones and the global social credit score will never end if you put up with it. This is the rollout of the post-human world. I know you know that, but I've seen National Democrat Party's statements and I've seen CNN and others point out that Jones says that COVID is a hoax. What I'm saying is it's an overblown fraud. It's a scam. But he sells InfoWars.com masks. Yes, if you're going to be made to do it to fly in an airport or by the police on a train, then fight back with information warfare, have a walking billboard. That's hypocrisy to be able to hold two different ideas in your head at the same time. If you're going to be raped by these people, they're going to put the burqa over your head. Might as well advertise it with InfoWars.com. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Fight back.
Allergies, dander, asthma, germs, toxins. There are many reasons why we need to think about what is really in the air around us. We may not be able to stop breathing, but we can control what's in the air we breathe. The revolutionary Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration system is a powerful ally in the fight against the dangerous toxins and viruses in the air. Powerful, quiet, and effective, the Breeze uses a four-step purification process to help you breathe easier and cleaner. Similar systems could cost hundreds to even thousands of dollars, but the Alexa Pure Breeze air purification is the best and most affordable, bar none. The Breeze and the Ion Cluster patented technology used in the system eliminate up to 99.97% of airborne contaminants. Get the Alexa Pure Breeze today and save big on a world-class air filtration system for your home. Don't keep breathing toxic or dangerous air. Get this special today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is going to come down to a fight over how many people are awake and how many aren't. They're going to contest the election. They're going to say Trump lost. They're super pissed that I'm on air.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
You kept us on air. We did the analysis first. It's now gone mainstream. We continue to be the epicenter. And what they said directly to us is you continue to be the epicenter of our plans not going the way we want. And you need to stop right now. And they're very, very serious. Well, I'm not signing on with a bunch of devil-worshipping child molesters. This is not going to happen. So they are moving now to destroy them. I used to say support InfoWars, rescue InfoWars, save yourself, save the world. We're in this together. Because let me tell you something. Communism's up here. InfoWars is the dam blocking it, which is all of us together supporting. And you and I are all down here with our families. My children are right here. But I need money to fight a war. And I need word of mouth. And I need prayer. And I need action. Because that dam's going to come down. Trump's told you, hell's coming.
It sounds over the top when I go on air. And I explain that the controllers of the planet want to carry out the extermination of the entire human population, except for a few of what they call their new transcendent silicon gods. But that's really what they're now externalizing. They're now taking what was in their textbooks and white papers 30 years ago and actually openly announcing it everywhere. They're going from beta to operational. And think about all these major corporations. They tell you humans are horrible. They tell you humans are a parasite. They tell you that we've all got to be gotten rid of. And then they won't let people see their old folks in nursing homes and then ship in COVID to kill them. That's all organizing as a beta test for larger operations. And everything is a microcosm and a laboratory test of larger scalability of what they are now beginning to roll out. Look at how they're banning medical doctors from promoting therapeutics that are absolutely essential to stop viral infections like COVID-19. This is all absolute information control. This is beyond 1984.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Move me on to any black square. Use me anytime you want. Just remember that the goal scored is all to capture all we want.
Liberty. It's your move. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to filmmaker Mickey Willis about Plandemic, the second in the series, Plandemic Indoctrination, and you can find that at plandemicseries.com, and you can also, we've got it mirrored at man.video, But I wanted to talk a little bit in this segment, Mickey, about the pushback that came after the first one, where you interviewed Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Yeah.
And the fact checkers themselves, because you do address some of that in this, talking about how, you know, the connections, again, with the usual suspects, Bill Gates and the Poynter Institute, which is this little tiny, I was amazed that they first came on the radar for me when they were picked by, I think it was Facebook, saying that they're going to be vetting information. And this is before they purged us off of social media. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they essentially have done that with your documentary. They purged it everywhere. And then after they've silenced you, depersoned you, then they feel free to try you in the public square without any defense. And of course, we're familiar with that. That's been happening to us for the last couple of years. But let's talk about Dr. Judy Mikovits. And you did a follow-up before this, when you did a follow-up interview with her.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I gave her a chance to come in and really to address the critics, to and also the opportunity to restate anything that she may have misspoke in the first pandemic. And there really wasn't much that she wanted to correct, because what she said is her truth. And mm-hmm. quite frankly, with the exception of a couple of points that I've had numerous scientists now comb over the first one to help me combat some of the fact checkers and, you know, the debunking that has been attempted. And there's only a couple of things that the scientists have determined that the science isn't settled. And so the biggest critique that they had on Judy Mikovits is that she often speaks in absolutes when she might want to speak more in potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but other than that, you know, what she said is spot on mm-hmm. in the film. And she corrected herself in the follow-up interview. Cause I think she had said, made a comment, in general comment, that vaccines don't work. And in the second interview, she said that from what she understands, this, the rabies vaccine has been very successful, and that the benefits outweigh the harm that it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, she got to explain further the science behind her comments regarding masks.
Mm-hmm.
And the, which really boils down to, you know, that became, which is why I focused, zero on that in part two, because I realized that the game the media plays is they pick the hot button subjects that they can get the whole world fighting about and dividing about.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're over there arguing about masks or social distancing, then all the corruption of the conflicts of interest and patents and all of that stuff gets covered up. So in this one, that's why I chose, you know, Dr. David Martin to just focus on the patents and the corruption.
Yeah. Well, but, of course, you know, I mean, the experts, so-called experts, the yeah. WHO and Fauci and the U.S. Surgeon General, all of them were on the opposite side with masks just a couple of months ago when they were very concerned about this and telling everybody, hey, everybody's going to drop dead with this. And then as that didn't happen, as we saw the hospitals not fill up, then they brought on the mask and then they changed all that stuff. And they've done a complete 180. So it ought to be incumbent on them to defend their position a little bit better, I think.
And not only did they change their opinion, but all of the search results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all exactly. So, and that's the key thing.
That's right.
The key thing.
So when the public goes to now find, they see only what supports the chosen narrative of the day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It really is Orwellian, isn't it? I mean, you really see, talking about how, you know, they pulled the footage for Bill Gates. Of course, that's happened to me as well, but for different reasons.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to show you the stuff that he did before. But, you know, you talk in there about the Poynter Institute and PolitiFact, and you know, which basically relies on what this small. It's not even they say that they put this thing out as like the preeminent journalist institute. You know, institute, and it's a small facility in St. Petersburg. When I found it,
yeah,
they don't even have any on. You know, even before everybody was doing Zoom classes, they didn't really have anything on site. You know, they just had this itinerant staff there and, you know, people taking seminars occasionally.
At this point, I think it's important that the public knows that anything with mass influence, we need to look at very skeptically.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game that is played is, I mean, that's why it went from calling, you know, movie stars celebrities to influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game is really about influence. If you have influence over a population, at some point, someone will try to influence you to toe their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these fact-checking sites are all what I call political spin machines.
Yes.
They're there as a firewall to, you know, first get, there's some stuff they do is accurate and true, so that way they keep the public believing them. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to these important things that they really want to cover, then they spin it for the people who are paying them. And when you see the amount of dollars and how frequent people like Bill Gates is invested into or donating to, either directly, mostly indirectly, mm-hmm. to these companies, you see that they're controlling the narrative. So they'll mm-hmm. never, ever say anything honest about, you know, Bill Gates or the work that he's doing.
That's right. And, of course, you also have some clips in there. You know, we talk about Operation Mockingbird and the CIA's influence and all that as well.
Yeah.
But the people who create these influencers, who are going to influence us, they call those people stakeholders.
That's right.
And that's one of the most grating terms. Whenever I hear that, I just want to pop my pen when I'm writing that. Because I know what these people are doing. And when they say that, what they're essentially implying is that you and I hold no stake in the future.
That's right.
Only those people do. They own the world, and they're going to make sure they purge us out of it.
They're essential, and we're not.
Yeah, they're the vampires who are now holding the stakes, and it ought to be the other way around.
Truly, truly.
Yeah, it is a high-stakes game, all right. When we go forward with this, and we look at what is coming up next, you got another one that is planned?
We are working on a couple things right now. As I mentioned, we're just on the tail end of a high-profile murder case, and mm-hmm. as soon as we're done with that, we move to the next project, which
That's
is a
great.
Big one.
That's great.
So I'll just say three other major false narratives that are rapidly destroying this planet and our liberties.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the key thing is, and this is why it's important that people start to go back. You know, we had this vast explosion of information on the internet, and I think that was intentional. I think it was a rope-a-dope. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go back and talk about Muhammad Ali's strategy, you know, to rope somebody in, and you know the Internet had been designed, I think, as a psychological tool by DARPA. Once it became something that was practical, they got involved with InQtel and these other things to pull in people that were going to work with them to do the kinds of control that we now have. And it basically, by using social media, they were able to pull people away from websites. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that people know and focus on Infowars.com or PlandemicSeries.com. Because you're not going to be able to find this information on social media. And if that's the only place you go for information, you're going to have nothing but disinformation and propaganda that's the official narrative that the CIA and the Bill Gates and others want to feed you.
What they want you to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's very important. When we look at this, I was talking to David Martin about the money that is there. I think it's really the control, the narrative, and the censorship that I find to be most troubling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all folds together, I think, as well, in terms of the desire to track us everywhere we go. And you talk about in the film, you talk about, and we've mentioned it here many times, the vaccine tattoo that Bill mm-hmm. Gates developed with MIT.
Yeah.
And we just had a couple of weeks ago, we had somebody from the Gavi Institute saying, well, you know, everybody's going to have to get their vaccination. They're going to have to get it 30 days apart. And we're not going to know if they got it or where they got it. And so we're going to have some way to track that. So they're already selling that to us here. That's a big part of what they're doing in India.
Yeah.
And he's been a big part, not only of the vaccines, but also about the identification, global ID. All of these things, all these technologies are folding together. We'll talk about that more on the other side of the break with Mickey Willis. Stay with us. We'll be right back. PlandemicSeries.com.
Introducing InfoWars Life Pure Turmeric Extract. This is taken under the tongue. It is pure turmeric. It goes together very well with our body's ultimate turmeric formula that is taken as a powdered capsule and absorbed in the stomach and intestines. This is absorbed under the tongue into the bloodstream, and then the remaining also is then absorbed by the stomach. So it's more of an intense delivery system. The two formulas are different, but both are concentrates, and our first product got rave reviews. We've now been testing this out for several months. Some of our staff like it more than Bodies. Some like Bodies better. For me, they're both amazing for their anti-inflammatory action and so much more, and they fund the InfoWar. So get our new liquid turmeric extract exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com today. Get an additional 25% off. This is a 360 win. Turmeric is renowned for what it does for all of our bodies, for inflammation and so much more. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com.
I don't want to be right about this prediction. In fact, it's not a prediction. It is a forecast. If we continue down the economic road we're on globally with the ongoing COVID-19 lockdowns and the destruction of productivity, it will continue to accelerate these ripple effects that are breaking down supply chains that will starve tens of millions of additional people in the third world and destroy decades of human infrastructure that's been built. It will annihilate the funding of that and put the entire first world in even deeper debt, which we're being maneuvered into. So I really think the smart move is to end all these lockdowns immediately and prosecute the people that launched the giant COVID scam, the giant COVID con game. It's really just a big power grab. But in case we can't reverse all this, we better start digging in and getting storable food and getting prepared to be self-sufficient, because that's the name of their game, is to make us dependent on them. So get self-sufficient now, InfoWars.com. In Germany, in Australia, in Canada, and now even in Ohio, every blue state, every blue city is announcing that they are establishing emergency COVID centers for people that refuse to be tested or people that are tested but refuse to stay in place while the results are coming back, or those that supposedly break quarantine. This, of course, is all based on the tests that are over 90% fraudulent and were designed to be so. This is a power grab. The world government globalist system is in trouble. All over the planet, free peoples are trying to pull out of it. And every blue area, I use the term blue as if in the U.S. for blue for Democrats, red for Republicans, is basically globalist or communist and authoritarian. And they are using this as their cover for an authoritarian takeover because they know the world's waiting to them. It's a very simple equation. It's illegal. We must resist it. It couldn't have been scripted any better. That's because it was completely scripted, and we even know the names of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, and John Hopkins documents. We have the script, just like you'd have for a Hollywood movie. And it's designed to freeze civilization and have a post-Renaissance stagnation or new dark age and a total consolidation of all wealth and power in the hands of the kleptocratic post-humanist. The magnitude of this is unfathomable, but you can see all the check boxes of tyranny are being marked carefully, every I dotted, every T crossed, a total societal vertical integration, takeover, medical tyranny, total surveillance. The big tech heads, on average, have had their wealth go up 35% in the last 8 months. And of course, Jeff Bezos has basically doubled his. Everyone is being forced onto their system, the post-human robot takeover. You're being made obsolete.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
And again, he is the investigative filmmaker who first did Plandemic with Dr. Judy Mikovits, did a follow-up interview to defend the ad hominem attacks that were coming out against her. And now he's done another documentary we've been talking about for the last 2 hours. We talked to David Martin, who did investigation into the patent side, the money trail, the criminal money trail that involves Fauci. I mean, Fauci is involved. I mean, just the gain of function research that is going on. Folks, we've got to shut this stuff down. When we look at this, and I've been talking about this since 2013, 2014, Allison Young, and you had some of her stuff up in the documentary. She deserved an award for exposing how dangerous all this stuff was. And they, you know, they had in the National Primate Center, they had at a biosafety level 3 lab, they had bacteria that they brought in, a pretty serious bacteria. It killed about 45% of the people. Case fatality rate of 45%, that's very high. And that wasn't good enough for them. They decided they would bring it in and make it more lethal and more easily transmitted. And then it escaped out of their biosafety level 3 lab. And that's when it got my attention back in 2013. And that's when Congress said, wait a minute, stop this. Fauci continued. Fauci and Collins. Why are they allowed to do this with impunity? It's absolutely amazing. So that's a very important part of this follow-up documentary. You've got Plandemic Indoctrination. And again, you can see the original, you can see the follow-up interview, and you can see the newest one, Plandemic Indoctrination, at PlandemicSeries.com. And I'm sure there's going to be more, and you've got a lot of things on your plate that you're working on as far as investigative series. And excellent job. Excellent job in terms of content and in terms of production values. As we were saying before, you know, they're criticizing you now because you've got good production values. They never criticize Hollywood for good production values. But it is a very easy film to watch, full of information. Before we go back and finish up, we've got just one more segment here. Before we do that, I just want to tell you about the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We've mirrored the series at band.video. And the only way that we can pay for the bandwidth there, the only way we can pay for these programs that we do here are the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And we really do appreciate your support. And we have some great sales as well right now to try to make that a win-win situation for everybody. We've got up to 60% off and free shipping on many products right now as part of the Save the Republic sale at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got DNA Force Plus now 50% off plus free shipping. We also have all of our T-shirts available right now at $17.76. That's an easy price point to remember. And free shipping, we have the 8-pack power stack and a couple of different variants at 60% off. Free shipping, the heart and body combo, that's VasoBeat. It's just concentrated beet juice, but it acts as a vasodilator. And ExtendoWise, that has a lot of heart-healthy natural supplements in it. That is 50% off, free shipping. Many other products. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. And I'll just mention again, had Vince Agnelli in Virginia send me the fact that his the person that he buys beef from was saying, hey, if we take an order now in September, we're not going to be able to fill that until December. So they're already starting to see a shortage and beef again. And I think this thing is going to ramp up again this winter. So right now, while we have a short timeline here on the storable food, it's a good time to take advantage of this. We had to stop, as you all know. Things got longer and longer delivery times, and we got out to like 8 to 10 weeks, and we just stopped taking orders at one point in time. But we're now down to about 1 to 2 week delivery. And if you don't need it, you'll still have it for up to 25 years. And I really do think, Mickey, that something is going to happen before the 25-year expiration point on that storable food. We were just talking about the end point, about 2030, and where this is all headed. One of the things, and I was going to play it, but I don't want to take time away from your interview. I loved the end of your documentary. One of the most hopeful things, and that's a good thing, because, you know, we look at all this stuff, and on a daily basis, it's just so dark, but you ended on such an upbeat, hopeful note. Tell us how you find that optimism.
Well, I have children, and so I have to find optimism, because they have a future here long after I'm gone. So that's really where it comes from. And as a storyteller, and having studied mythologies in the work of Joseph Campbell and The Hero's Journey forever, I've realized that there are certain mythos that we've been telling ourselves starting back and from cave writings to the campfire stories. And when you look at these stories, for me, it's our stories I see as more of a prototype to understand our future.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain chain of events that occur. And so it was my way of helping people to realize that we're all on a hero's journey.
Yeah.
And that there's a reason that all of our most iconic films or stories that we've told that are worth remembering have a very similar third act, which is the big crescendo, the fire and explosions, the when the hero is almost defeated. And then they rise to summon a power that they forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And that light always wins mm-hmm. in our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's a prototype of the times that we're in right now to help us better understand and map out that this is the time that we rise.
Yeah.
This is a time that we, the people, and I will say this too, I had a lot of pressure on me to create a call to action at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written a call to action, recorded the VO, and I felt this resistance to put it in the movie until I finally got clear on why. As I said, I got my team around and I said, I'm taking the call to action out of the film. We're not going to do a full call to action because I think that we have been so programmed into following the leaders, having others tell us what our plan is,
mm-hmm.
I need to leave it with the people. And that's why all we ended with was the definition of plan and the original definition of demic, which is people. Mm-hmm. So what is the plan of the people?
Yes.
It's important for us to now author our lives. We get to choose how this ends.
That's right.
We've been allowing these other people to tell us what our future is, what our present is. But that day is over, and the day of the guru, of following the leader, of putting our lives in the hands of these politicians who are right. serving other agendas is over.
That's right. And that's what I agree with so much.
Awesome.
That is it has to rise from the bottom up.
Yes.
The institutions, and we're at that point in time. We were talking during the break about the fourth turning and how this is a point in time in which society is going to be restructured for the better or for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the power to do that, and we must take that power and not give that to the experts, not give that to the politicians. This is something that has to rise up from the bottom up. And we've already seen this during the 6 months of martial law, that the only people who had any protection were people who came together in community, who had good local leaders, you know, that they could rally around, that they could work with, a local sheriff or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even just the community watch to come together and to protect their country, their community and their county. And we've seen this in the people just going about their lives, people going to church, people going to their motorcycle rally, people, mm-hmm. you know, just going to the restaurant or whatever, leading your normal life and saying, I'm not going to let that be taken away from me. I think that's the key thing.
I think it is, too. You know, at the beginning of this, a lot of the measures were logical, right? We don't know mm-hmm. what this is. It's
right.
a novel virus. And the idea of playing it safe makes sense.
Yes.
What has blown my mind is as the new numbers come out, even through the CDC, the media, the leadership, and the public don't seem to care to make an adjustment to that. The protocol mm-hmm. stays the same or it even gets worse.
It's worse. Yeah.
And so that's the stuff we need to start looking at things with a sharper critical thinker.
And they changed the metric. Right.
Yeah.
To make the worst possible case.
That's
the problem that I had with this from the very beginning. And I posed a lockdown from when it was even being rumored. I looked at it and I said, okay, no matter how bad this is, and I believe that it was being engineered because I've covered this type of stuff. It very easily could have been released deliberately or escaped mm-hmm. from a lab or whatever. But I said, no matter what it is, the lockdown is the wrong way to approach this. To mandate that you have to do something or that you can't do something is the wrong way to handle our health.
Mm-hmm.
We want advice. I'm all for medical advice,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not for any doctor's orders, especially people who aren't doctors,
That's right.
people who are bureaucrats. And so, yeah, give me the information. I can handle it myself, and you can do things to try to help us. But to lock us in prison like this
yeah.
when we're healthy, that is the thing that from the very beginning – that set off my spidey sense. And I'm still upset about that. Well, it's great talking to you. It's a great film, folks. You've got to see this. You can see it at PlandemicSeries.com, Plandemic Indoctrination. And we've been talking to Mickey Willis as well as to David Martin. If you haven't seen it or if you can't find it there, you can also find it at band.video. We'll mirror it there as well. Thank you so much, Mickey.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure, sir.